High school football is on the air. HavenFootball.net, in cooperation with the Hero Scholarship Fund of Delaware County, is pleased to present tonight's 37th annual 2013 Hero Bowl.
As time firing down the scene, big tight end Dave Wilson at the 42, across the 40, stretches down near the 35-yard line. Gain of 26 on the play. Back to pass. Has plenty of time. Firing deep down the near sideline. Looking. Aaron Benson in coverage. And it is caught. A tremendous catch down near the 31-yard line. Back is Humes. Five-step drop. Firing deep down the seam. Pinto is open. He's got it. Touchdown. The tight end. Ridley connection. Al Humes are running Pinto down the seam.
Tonight's game is sponsored by TD Bank, America's most convenient bank, with convenient branches all over Delaware County. Outback Steakhouse in Springfield. Steak, chicken, and shrimp done the Outback way. Eat in or take out. EasyStream.com. Broadcasting your high school sporting events over the internet couldn't be easier with EasyStream. Tonight's game features a contest between the Del Valle High School Football All-Stars and the Central League Football All-Stars. Here are tonight's announcers, the regular season internet voices of the Strathaven Panthers, Brian Carroll and Mike Mayer.
It's 90 degrees after 7 o'clock here in Delaware County. It's a couple days before June 2013, but are you ready for some football? So, it doesn't quite feel like football weather here in Delaware County, but once a year, since, well, for quite some time now, this is the 37th time they've put together the Hero Bowl. One night, one all-star game for some of the best senior football players from the 2012 season will get together to strap on the high school pads one more time just a couple weeks before their graduation. And we are thrilled to host it yet again from Leslie Quick Stadium here at Widener University. Good evening, everybody. Brian Carroll alongside of Mike Mayer, ready to bring you the Hero Bowl for, I don't know, the fifth or sixth, seventh time maybe for us, but more importantly, year after year, we get to see new faces, new senior football players, some of the same coaches, but cheerleaders, new fans, some fans that we see here year after year supporting just a tremendous cause, with all proceeds for tonight's game going to the Hero Scholarship Fund, which benefits the surviving children of fallen firefighters, police officers, and EMTs, emergency workers. And, you know, you really just can't say enough about what this game means to those families and many others, sadly, that are likely to come. But, again, many, many people have benefited over the years from the Hero Scholarship Fund, and all proceeds tonight head in that direction. So we are thrilled to be here for the East and the West all-star rosters. The West comprised mostly of Central League seniors, along with a couple of other schools. We'll get to those in a minute. With the East made up primarily of the Del Valle League teams, along with a couple others as well. But again, on the East roster, you're looking at Academy Park, Chester, Innerboro, Archbishop Carroll, Glen Mills, Delco Christian, Penwood, Sun Valley, Chichester, and Cardinal O'Hara players. For the West, we have Episcopal Academy joining Harrington, Garnet Valley, Haverford School, Marple Newtown, Radnor, Lower Marion, Ridley, Upper Darby, Haverford High, Strathaven, Springfield, and Pencrest. And so, more importantly, this will be the last high school game for a lot of these guys, and we'll get into more of that later on, but there are quite a few players who will be playing football in college next year. Some of them will be teammates. So, again, a lot more to say about that, but before we get too far into it, I want to bring on our broadcast partner and the brains behind HavenFootball.net, and, you know, Mike
Such
Mayer.
As they are.
Mike Mayer doing it all. Once again, I get the easy part just to talk about football, but, Mike, thank you again for all the work you do during the high school football season and in the off season, and really in preparation for 2013. But
yeah, we're getting close for it. You know, it's amazing. My grandmother would tell me when I was a kid, you know, like 10 or 11, that how much faster time would go by as I got older. Because I remember when I was 10 or 11, boy, summer vacation seemed like 3 years, and the school year seemed like 5 years, which never quite balanced out. But time is moving fast, and it used to be this was a quick fix for football. and you figured you had the whole summer to wait until, you know, you had the season start again, and now it's like we do the Hero Bowl and we turn around and real quick and suddenly it's football season again. So, but I think those of us that are here year after year after year, it's just a great way to get a football fix, and hopefully you that are listening or feel the same way. Just a nice way to hear a little football program going on. These are kids we heard a lot about, obviously, this past football season. They're in, you know, the best of the best. Most of them are going to be going on to play football, and certainly not football, some other sport, in their college careers, but and some of them, of course, will go on to trade schools and stuff like that. But the important thing is that they're here tonight to play together. A lot of them have read about each other, have met each other only on the field maybe after a game, and they're going to get a chance to play with each other, and in some cases compete with people they would never have the opportunity to work with, work against. So I think it's fun for everybody. The only thing that's not cooperating all the time is the weather. We have fans blowing on us, which could be some of the sound you hear in the background, but it is 90 degrees. Fortunately, it's not ridiculously humid. The field is covered now in a complete shadow. The sun is just about to set behind the trees. It'll be out of our eyes, and then we should be able to settle in and get comfortable and hopefully call a good game.
Should be fun, and again, many, many thanks goes out to the Hero Bowl committee putting this on for the 37th time. We will mention the players, well, for the next 2 to 3 hours, but we also want to mention that there is a cheerleading squad here tonight, the Hero Bowl All-Star Cheerleaders from Sun Valley High School, Anastasia Morgan, Maddie Trofa, Diane Moore. From Chichester includes Katie Gillespie, Khadiza Rice, and Dominique Jones. From Penwood, Kim Hazard, LaAsia Brown, Danielle Grasty, and Diamond Scott. From Garnet Valley, Therese Papa and Megan Buchek. From Academy Park, Yamia Wallace and Mariah Stewart. And from Chester, Aishana Jackson, Amber Clements, and Tiara Jennings. And from Radnor, Shakira Clark. So, again, congratulations to the Hero Bowl cheerleaders. And, again, we'll talk more about the coaching staff and the really the volunteering of their time to put together a game plan, to get together about 40 kids, really, from 10 different schools or so, to try to put that together on just a handful of practices. I honestly am amazed year after year at the quality of this game.
But I'm amazed more often than not at the fact that Outback volunteers to feed this crowd every year. We have an interview of Dave Stout from last year, who's the guy who puts it all together for Outback, and we'll play his interview later, in probably during halftime. So we're about to go to the national anthem.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back for the tail end of the national anthem and the kickoff for the 37th annual Hero Bowl here in Delaware County, Pennsylvania. Stick with us. You're listening live to high school football right here on havenfootball.net.
Hi, my daughter has some coins. She'd like to turn them into cash.
Did you say cash advance?
Oh, no, coin counting.
I want to buy a dollhouse.
Congratulations. Would you like to hear about our mortgages?
No, she's 7.
Oh, sorry. We do not offer 7-year mortgages at this time.
No, coin counting.
It's time to bank human again. That's why at TD Bank, you can talk to a real person anytime. And yes, we have free customer coin counting. TD Bank, America's most convenient bank.
Member FDIC.
This is Keith Jackson. You're listening to High School Football right here on havenfootball.net.
Star Spangled Banner, as performed by the Glenn Mills School Choir. So well done, gentlemen. And that's another fun part of this game. You just look out at the crowd in front of you, and you have T-shirts and students teammates, parents, friends, coaches from schools everywhere. And it's you're seeing a whole bunch of Academy Park shirts sitting next to a whole bunch of Haverford guys, and there's some Garnet Valley folks here, and there's some Radnor t-shirts down the way, and you know, I know there's some Strathaven fans here tonight. You know, it's always a fun time for us. But speaking of which, we have several coaches from all different schools. So again, just thank you to them for their efforts. The head coach for the East squad tonight is from Penwood. That is head coach Tori Brooks. He's assisted by Brandon Borst, Paul Dixon, Dante Crawley, Dan Madonna, Joe Powell, Jason Bischewski, Brian Smith, Sal Oropolo, Vic Buono, Vincent Harrington, and Mike Ewing. For the West squad, head coach is Matt Barr, now former coach at Harrington. Matt Barr stepping down, and Justin Meller, former assistant at Haverford High, will be joining them as their lead man at Harrington shortly. But the assistant coaches tonight, Dennis Thacker of Ridley, Mike Murphy of Haverford School, Joe Gallagher, John Anderson, Todd Fairley, Micah Muffetano, Tom Ryan, Tom Klein, Scott Williams, Mike Willard, Kevin DiPaolo, Eric Hollingsworth, Chris Craig, Dan Mills, and Joe Stratton. We're going to take a short time out, see if we can get this soundboard squared away, but stick with us. We'll be back for the opening kickoff of the 2013 Hero Bowl right here on the Haverford Football Network.
My daughter has some coins. She'd like to turn them into cash.
Did you say cash advance?
Oh, no. Coin counting.
I want to buy a dollhouse.
Congratulations. Would you like to hear about our mortgages?
Mortgage? No, she's 7.
Oh, sorry. We do not offer 7-year mortgages at this time.
No, coin counting.
It's time to bank human again. That's why at TD Bank, you can talk to a real person anytime. And yes, we have free customer coin counting. TD Bank, America's most convenient bank.
Member FDIC.
This is CBS 3 Sports Director Beasley Reese, and you're listening to High School Football on www.havenfootball.net.
Welcome back to havenfootball.net's presentation of the 2013 Hero Bowl, and Mike Mayer is working feverishly on the soundboard, and we apologize if there's some interference. We will get this from time to time, just this little buzz in the background, but I'm going to go silent for just one moment and see if we can't get this fixed. Well, we'll see what we can do as it, again, sometimes inexplicably deal with a little bit of feedback sound. But in the meantime, Brian Carroll bringing you play-by-play, and the captains are meeting at midfield. For the East squad tonight, again, this is made up primarily of the Del Valle All-Stars, along with players from Cardinal O'Hara, Sun Valley, Delco Christian, and Monsignor Bonner. They are in white jerseys with blue numerals and gray pants, or white pants, actually. There's a little bit of a mix over there. For the West squad, they are in white pants with red jerseys, white numerals, and again, for all the players, they get to wear their own helmets, and it makes it a little difficult on the play-by-play announcer, but fun for the kids to share helmet stickers. So you might see, for instance, a green Ridley helmet with a Garnet Valley paw on it, or a gold Upper Darby helmet with a big R for Radnor alongside it. But the kids share the helmet stickers and have a good time with it. Well, Mike, but, we want to keep working on the soundboard, but in the meantime, the team dressed in red tonight, the West squad, will be, I believe, kicking it away. But again, we'll be keeping stats as best we can here tonight. We'll be talking to Jim Alsman of MarpleNewtownFootball.com at halftime. He's actually handling the PA duties in the stadium here tonight. But we will also be spending a lot of time talking about and mentioning the names of all the players on the field, and we'll tell you a little bit about their 2012 senior season as well. But the West squad will be receiving and moving left to right here in the opening quarter. Standing deep to return down inside the 10-yard line is number 10 from the Haverford School, Chris Morgan, wide receiver, along with Ridley's number 24, Mike Crowley. So they are both talented returners standing inside the 5-yard line. Taking it up for the East is Big 44 from the Glen Mills School. That's Deion Cleveland. And he has a team halfway between the hash marks. So,
We will keep after the sound issue, and Mike, well, he could feel free to chime in at any point, but he's working on trying to figure out what that sound bug is, and we'll figure that out momentarily. But Deion Cleveland has a team halfway between the hash marks. Crowley and Morgan stand deep to return for the West. And we are underway. The whistle has blown from the officials. Cleveland approaches, steps into it, sends a high and over-end kick. It's going to take, no, it's coming up and taking it out in the air at the 15-yard line. It's Morgan. 20, 30, 35, and he's tripped up to the 38-yard line. And the West will start right there from the left hash mark. We'll see who comes out first. Again, they will rotate several players in and out. They mean both teams. And it will be Pat Moriarty, the signal caller, at quarterback to start here from Harrison for the West squad. He has Cameron Gorham out there with him. He'll be one wide receiver alongside of Pencrest, Kevin Trusty. Three wide receivers now as it's Smollett split to the left for Ridley. In the backfield, his Ridley teammate, Darren Washington, stands at the right hip. Moriarty on first and 10 from the 38. Back to pass. Moriarty fires the left side. It's complete. Stepping out of bounds on that far sideline after a gain of 4 is number 22. That's Mike Smollett. Gain of 4 on the play. We are playing with the soundboard a little bit. You may go here on and off momentarily. But we'll try to keep that short and sweet. In the meantime, Moriarty to Smollett goes for 4, brings up 2nd down and about 6. Again, shotgun look here. Officials blow the play dead momentarily. It gives me a moment to talk about as many players as we can rotating in and out on both sides of the ball for the East. Number 44, Deion Cleveland, is in at linebacker alongside of, well, we'll get to that in a moment. Durkin in at quarterback now. Durkin from Haverford turns, gives on the jet sweep, trying to turn the corner. This is Pendleton of Lower Marion across the midfield stripe to the 48-yard line. Ernest Pendleton goes for a gain of 8. Brings up 1st and 10 now into East territory. 11:25 and counting here to play in the opening quarter. Split to the far side to the left of the field is number 15, Juwan Valentine of Harrison. Moriarty back in the game at quarterback with Washington on his left hip. Back to pass, Moriarty looking, all sorts of time. Once it all, deep down the left side, has a man out there, in and out of the hands of Cam Durham. Looking for the Springfield speedster inside the 10, and Durham could not haul it in. Brings up 2nd and 10.
Let me help you out. I just wanted to talk and see if I had the same problem, but I do. I got that cord is doing it. I'll have to see if I can swap it out.
So bear with us. We will get the sound issue squared away as we work through some things here. In the meantime, 2nd and 10 for the West. The soundboard has seemingly cleared magically. That sounds better in our ears. Hope it does in yours as well. Eddie Durkin, senior from Haverford, in at quarterback. Takes the snap, back, looking, stepping up, and has some room to run. Darts to his right, across the 45, down near the 40, and then he's finally wrapped up at about the 41. In on the stop for the East is DeVito Morrison. Morrison DeVito, rather. Linebacker out of Academy Park.
You know, there's always a question in an all-star game like this as to whether defense has an easier job or offense, and I generally believe that offense usually comes out strong because it's hard to coordinate your defense, make sure everybody's filling behind and covering gaps, things like that. The play isn't quite as straightforward as it is for the offense.
Gain of 7 for Durkin, and Moriarty right back into the game. 3rd down at about 2. Moriarty back, looking. Once it all, down the middle he goes. Morgan's out there, leaps and makes a beautiful catch inside the 5. Down at the 3-yard line, 1st and goal to go. And pointing to the sky is Chris Morgan, and I'll mention it now to get it, not to say get it out of the way, but those Haverford School players here tonight and the Haverford School community, our hearts go out to you. There was an absolute awful tragedy over in Glen Mills yesterday with a fatal car accident. Kip Taviano, standout lacrosse player, Glen Mills resident, was killed tragically in an awful car accident, and the Haverford School players certainly have him on their mind. Durkin in the shotgun, 1st and goal, gives to Rob Murphy of Springfield, who dives into the end zone, touchdown West. 9:32 to play in the opening quarter, and the West is on the board first.
Moriarty to Morgan set it up. And the icing on the cake goes to the Springfield senior, Rob Murphy. In from 3 yards out, extra point pending. Number 20, Matt Rushton from the Haverford School, on to attempt it.
And that pass previously was just a beautiful play. I didn't think he was going to make it, but he did run right underneath that ball. It was great.
Gain of 38 yards. Moriarty to Morgan, and now flags all over the place. This is always one of the most difficult parts of the Hero Bowl, where you start to see most of the mistakes. Formation things, special teams plays. Remembering that they only have a handful of practices together all season in preparation for this game.
Right.
My guess is they don't spend a whole lot of time in the special teams units. But
not only that, most of these guys don't play special teams when they play regular ball.
So Rushton headed to Villanova in the fall as a preferred walk-on. High snap, ball spotted well, but Rushton steps into it, pounds it through. And the West has themselves a 7-0 lead, just shy of 3 minutes into the ball game. We'll see if the East can answer. Stick with us. We'll be back in 30 seconds. You're listening to the 37th Annual Hero Bowl right here on HavenFootball.com.
In the Outback, we've got a real taste for adventure. So drop in today to explore our new Steak Flights menu. For a limited time, enjoy two or three cuts of our juicy signature sirloin served on a crispy potato, each topped with a chef-crafted sauce of your choice, like creamy Diablo or wild mushroom. Plus a side starting just $10.99. That's up to two or three delicious tastes, all on one plate. So enjoy your flight, mate, but don't miss it. It's always fresh in the Outback.
This is John Linder, Mayor of Chester, and you're listening to High School Football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Six plays, 62 yards, and the West is on the board, 7-0. The East looking to answer. Two return men standing deep include Warren Allen of Interboro, and number five in white is Rich Ringel, just 5'2" out of Penwood. But he is a speedster, and he awaits the kick from number 20 from the Haverford School, Matt Rushton. Rushton tacked on the extra point. 7-0 the West, and the East getting the ball for the first time. High end over end kick, and it's going to come down. Wow, 8 yards deep. They're going to let him, no, he's going to take a knee. I guess that's not an automatic touchback.
Yeah, it should be.
It should be if it crosses the goal line, but no whistle right away. But Rushton sent it deep enough where Allen thought twice, and rightfully so. So we'll see what the East can do, starting at their own 20-yard line, moving right to left here with 9:25 to play here in the first quarter.
So, and the sun is just dropping behind us, the trees, so we should get a little relief here from the heat.
We might actually get under 90 anytime.
Let's see what it is now. I actually am monitoring the weather. Nope, still 90 according to this.
Linnell Bird, the senior wideout out of, I'm going to say senior about 50 times today. They're all seniors. I will just preface it with that. But Linnell Bird, the first team all Delco wide receiver, split to the left of the formation out of Chichester High. Slot to the left is number four, Teron Dunbar. In the shotgun is Tyler Street out of Academy Park. Back to pass. Down the seam he goes. Incomplete.
Yes.
And flag comes in.
Absolutely.
Late, but rightfully so here. Looking for a little slant at the 30-yard line. Flag comes in, and it will likely be pass interference here.
Yeah, you know, it, as you point out, they only had a few practices, and you do other sports and that kind of stuff. And the instinct is when a guy starts to run away from you and you think he's going to get the ball, is grab him, which is exactly what they did. And Street, it was pretty obvious, but that's okay.
Street in the game at quarterback. He's joined also by Earl Hargrove, Academy Park wide receiver. At left tackle right now for the moment is Carmen Cervella. He's headed to Pace University, but he'll spend the next 2 weeks at Cardinal O'Hara High. Offset eye formation dotted by the tailback Darrell Nicholson. On first and 10 from the 35 after the 15-yard penalty, Nicholson off the right side. He is tracked down, but spins across the 35 for a gain of about two. Nice little run and good pursuit on the backside by Corey Power out of Marple Newtown.
Almost caught him.
Nicholson, 5'8", 185-pound tailback out of Chester. He checks out of the game. Into the game, number 33, Dan Griffin. And now, he checks out as well. So it looks like they're going to go four wide receivers. Actually, yeah, four wide. Three to the left side, trips left. And number four, Teron Dunbar, split to the far side, to the right of the formation. Shotgun look, Caleb Favino, the single setback. Back is Street, looking. Firing to the right side, it is high, incomplete. Looking for Rashawn Fentress. First team All-Delco tight end out of Interboro. He's headed to Shippensburg in the fall.
Earl Hargrove from Kennedy Park, number 15. He was looked like he might have been open, but I think he was maybe a secondary receiver on that play.
Street leading Academy Park to a DelVal title this past year. Street among many others, but it was Interboro that finally caught him in the playoffs. An absolute classic. District 1 semifinal, and Interboro on their way to really an improbable run to the District 1 3A title. Third down and about eight now. Four wide. Now they motion from right to left, flooding that left side, and a draw play. Here's Favino, breaks one tackle in the backfield and gets back to the line of scrimmage and not much else. Shane Dougherty. I'm sorry, that's his Ridley teammate, number 41, not 44. That's Tyler Harris. Ridley is loaded with good football players this year, 11-1 on the year. But Darren Washington, Mike Smolik, Mike Crowley, Rich Coya, Tyler Harris, Shane Dougherty, Matt Sinek, Steve Plausis. That's Ridley, the most represented school on the West squad. And that draw play goes for nothing, and it leads it to fourth down and 10, and the East will punt it away. Kevin Trusty standing deep to return.
Ooh.
Very short punt, spiraling to the right side, angling to the sideline, and out of bounds on that far side. Off the side of the foot of Big 71, Mike Cristaldi out of Interboro. And the West will start with excellent field position here at their own 42-yard line, already leading 7-0. East managed a first down off of a penalty, but essentially went three and out thereafter. So, we'll see what the West can do as they break the huddle with Smolik to the left, Juwan Valentine to the right, Tevin Howie and Rob Murphy are the backs on either side of Pat Moriarty. On first down, give it to Murphy, and he has running room right up the gut. 50, 45, down to the 44-yard line. Rob Murphy of Springfield put the first 6 points on the board today, and here he rips off another 14-yard run. Not too bad for the West.
Yeah, West has really been dominant, obviously, in offensive stage of the game. East is going to find some kind of an answer here. They've got to plug those holes. I'll tell you, it looks like the front line is substantially larger for the West on offense than the East on defense. That may be giving them fits. And, of course, the way they're running the ball.
Vaughn Fulton in the game at defensive tackle at Sun Valley, 6'5", 265. Trying to hold down the fort. Eddie Durkin in at quarterback now. Durkin back to pass and looking. To his right, to his left. He's hit as he throws. It's underthrown and coming back and making a beautiful interception at the 20-yard line is number 36, Dan Dickerson.
Did you catch who hit the ball?
I did not see who got a hold of Durkin just as he let it go, but the senior out of Interboro, a defensive back tonight, Dickerson, hauls it in at the 20-yard line, and the East has the football back.
There is no assist in football for an interception, but you would get a blocked pass.
Yeah, that's a hurry at the very least.
Yes,
but Durkin
right.
Durkin had his jersey right near his arm grabbed just as he let it go. Ball underthrown. And again, in an all-star game like this, those defensive backs are literally on an island. They are in man-to-man coverage. There's no blitzing. It's not an easy job to play corner on a night like this. So the East, though, thanks to the pick from Dickerson, takes over at the 20-yard line. Give is to number 33 and going absolutely nowhere is Dan Griffin from Sun Valley. They're going to be, I think, generous getting him back to the line of scrimmage with forward progress. But Big 72, Mike Staples of Radnor stood him up. Ryan Van Horn of Garnet Valley in at linebacker, making the stop as well. Corey Power checks in from on the defensive line. Pete Curlin of Haverford is out there. Mike Dougherty, another terrific linebacker named Dougherty, but this one's from Springfield, along with Shane, who's also checking into the game. So two Doughertys in at linebacker. And number 45 also on the defensive side of the ball right now, P.J. Quinn out of Pencrest. Mike Crowley in at one corner. And Ryan Corkery from Garnet Valley, we've known him for the last couple of years as an all-Central, all-Delco quarterback, but he is in at the cornerback position tonight. He's headed to Westchester in the fall. He's had a couple of good seasons for head coach Mike Rickey and the Jaguars, and that Garnet Valley team, year after year, has been a contender since joining.
Yep, absolutely.
So the timeout on the field taken by East, we're going to keep it right here. It gives us a chance to introduce a few more people of note tonight, namely the officials. And the officials for tonight, and we've mentioned this in years past, But the officials for tonight's game all are police officers and volunteering their time as well. So the game officials, again, Edward Beebe from Delaware County Emergency Communications Center, Corporal Robert Frazier from Ridley Park, Lieutenant Darrell Guy out of Darby Borough, Corporal Gerard Scanlon from Ridley Township, Police Officer John Scanlon out of Sharon Hill, Detective Sergeant James Simpkins from Tinicum Township, Detective Sergeant David Splain from Yadin, and Chief of Police Robert Tinsley out of the Sharon Hill Police. So, again, thank you again to the game officials for tonight. Again, that's a pretty thankless job, and it's on a 90-degree night, but again, generosity of their time is evident here. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Tyler Street under center, single setback. They fake it to the setback and rolling to his right is Street. Dumps it underneath, complete, and to the tight end, out to the 22, a short gain to number 45 out of Chichester, the 6'1", 225-pounder. That's Corbin Naima. So a gain of just two.
And Shane Dockery, number 44, got the rush on that one. I mean, he was really forced that pass early. He was right on the quarterback's tail, and had he held it another second or two, might have had a sack.
So Naima on the receiving end of the first completion of the night for the East squad. Brings up third down and eight from their own 22. The East trailing 7-0. Trips to the left. One receiver to the right. Austin Kua alongside the quarterback Street. Fires high to the outside. Naima on the receiving end, but he's wrapped up very nicely. Good work from the Ridley cornerback that time. Number 24 is, I'm going to get them mixed up all night, Crowley and Smolik, and most teams did all year. They're both about the same size, both equally talented and just terrific ball players. Mike Crowley stood him up, and Ryan Van Horn came in and polished him off, the linebacker from Garnet Valley. So, two catches for Naima, nets only about 7 yards. It's going to bring up third down and, well, almost four. And the punt team on again. And Mike Cristaldi standing at the 15-yard line is going to kick it away to Rob Murphy and Jawan Valentine. No pressure, and the much better kick from Cristaldi this time. High wobbler, fair catch, signal for and made by Rob Murphy at the 41-yard line. So the West will get another crack at it from about the same spot on the field where they started their last drive. 4:38, I guess the clock is ticking momentarily. But in the meantime, about four minutes and change to play here in the first quarter. The West on top, 7-0. Mentioned a bunch of the Ridley guys from the West squad. For the East tonight, the most represented team happens to be Interborough, the District 1 AAA champs. I'll mention all their players in a moment. But here, first and 10, Pat Moriarty in the gun. Gives to Tevin Howie for the first time. Howie bounces to the outside, 45, midfield, carries a tackler near first down yardage. I think they'll mark him about a yard or two shy. Tevin Howie, leading touchdown scorer in 2012 in Delaware County out of Strathaven, picks up nine on his first toe of the night. Tevin's, again, equally or maybe even a better player on the defensive side of the ball, but he's,
yep.
You can say that about a lot of these guys. Some of these guys playing almost entirely out of position tonight, but some, you know, will just have to share the load, and that's what an all-star game's all about. Second down and one, Howie and still in the game with Eddie Durkin as quarterback. Give it to Tevin Howie again. He cuts across midfield, spins his way to first down yardage. He's wrapped up there by a number of white jerseys, including Deion Cleveland. And getting up off the bottom of the pile is number 70, Kari McLeod from Academy Park. 6'1", 240-pounder.
Enough for a first down.
They move the sticks after Howie picks up three. 3:22. And counting to play here in the first quarter. The West leading 7-0 and on the move again into East territory now at the 48-yard line. Pat Moriarty back in the game at quarterback. Whistle on the field. And timeout signaled for, let's look for the East. So the East will use a second timeout here. Just real quickly, as we get to name as many kids as we can here, some who are on the field at the moment, but some who are not. Defensively for the East at the moment, into the game on the defensive line, includes Roger Burke out of Chichester on defensive line. We mentioned number 70, Carr McLeod.
big 60, probably the biggest guy on the field for the East squads, about 6'5", 265 pounds out of Sun Valley, is Vaughn Fulton. Also in the game for the East, we mentioned Deion Cleveland. Number 41 at linebacker is Evan Harvey out of Archbishop Carroll. Number 58 at defensive end, Daquan Dill out of Chester. And the secondary, they've been rotating a lot of guys in, and rightfully so. These kids just trying to stay hydrated in 90-degree heat. But number 28, Hakeem Whitaker, is in there at cornerback right now. He's out of Academy Park. Mentioned Rich Ringgold out of Penwood. Smallest guy on either roster at 5'2", 125 pounds.
You know, this has to be a bit of a joy for coaches because there's no bad player. When I say bad players, you know, you get your normal roster in a school with 35, 40, 45 kids on the team, and, you know, 10 of them probably aren't really usable, at least as they are now. But here, you got to get everybody in. Everybody's got talent. Everybody's got abilities. Got to be nice.
Alex Cheatham and Dan Dickerson round out the secondary for the East. Here, first and 10. Jet sweep. They give it to Ernest Pendleton out of Lower Marion. Looking for room. Sheds a tackle at the 45, at the 35, and then finally ridden out of bounds. Flag comes in late as it got a little over-aggressive on the sideline, and I think they're going to say post-whistle unnecessary roughness here as Pendleton, though, takes it down to the 34-yard line. Gain of about 14 on that jet sweep, and you heard the crowd in the background yelling. I think they wanted a hold on the edge there, but no flag at that point. And now it looks like they're going to march off 15 more at the end of the play. So Pendleton, two carries now for 26 yards. And one of the bright spots for Lower Marion this year. He's the only Lower Marion player on the roster tonight. He is, the Bulldogs had a tough run at 0-10 this year. But
had a tough couple of years.
But a first-year coach in Adam Beach, give him a little time to turn it around. If he does anything like he did at Upper Moreland, they will be something to think about in the Central League moving forward. Kevin Trusty checks into the game. He's split to the left for the formation. Four wide receivers. Durkin in at quarterback. Motion man is Pendleton. They fake it to him. Durkin will keep himself. 15-10 right up the gut. Five, and Eddie Durkin takes it in from 17 yards out.
How many times did he do that during this season?
The red and gold shirts sitting in front of us. A lot of Haverford fans here are on their feet after that one. Durkin from 17 yards out. And boy, what might have been had he stayed healthy for two full years his junior and senior year. He was good, certainly good enough. He was Delaware County's top-rated passer in terms of efficiency this year. High snap, spotted well by Moriarty. Kick is blocked. Blocked extra point. Well done, number 22. Taji Duncan out of Chester, flying through the line, blocks the extra points, and the scoreboard stays West 13, East nothing. 2:55 to play here in the first quarter. Stick with us. We'll be back in just a moment here. See what the East can do to answer here in the 37th Annual Hero Bowl on AvenFootball.net.
After the game, don't forget to check out the best high school football website, AvenFootball.net. You'll be able to check scores around the Central League, as well as key teams throughout Pennsylvania in the PIAA system. HavenFootball.net for great game statistics and articles. If you're into Haven football or simply high school football, there is no better place to be than HavenFootball.net.
This is Ralph Lawler of the LA Clippers, and you're listening to High School Football on HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to Leslie Quick Stadium here in Chester, Pennsylvania, on the campus of Widener University. Brian Carroll bringing you play-by-play. Mike Mayer joining me as always. The West on top of the East, 13-0 in the 37th Annual Hero Bowl, the senior high school all-star game here in Delaware County. We've been on the seesaw the last couple of years. From 2000 to 2007, it was the West coming out on top every year. Here's a high short kickoff, and nobody covers it, and I think the West is on it. It was like a pooch kick, and Eric Korn is on top of it.
You know, that's
Eric
just
Korn at the 30-yard line, the Harrington senior hustling down and flat out, nobody just.
It's a mental mistake. You just don't, you know, you're too used to not playing football. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, you see stuff in a game like this you'll sometimes see in the first game of the season or something. But
here I was talking about some Hero Bowl history and just a very quick kickoff. I don't know that that was intentional, but a very high, very short kick, and I have to believe it was, considering how far Rushton kicked
the last one, 8 yards deep in the end zone. But just a short angling pooch kick bounced to the 30-yard line, and there were three red shirts on top of it. And now here's the West trying to throw a dagger, already up 13-0 with the football at the East 30-yard line. Kevin Sherry in at tight end at the to the right side of the formation. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. In the gun is Moriarty. Back to pass. All sorts of time. Firing deep down the left side. Durham is out there, and it is swatted away by Dickerson near the goal line.
Nice defensive play. I thought he had that.
Dickerson with an interception to his credit already. Just saved a touchdown right there, and that ball hung up in the air just a little too long for Moriarty's liking. He's walking to the sideline a little frustrated. But Durham had a step. Second down and 10. Eddie Durkin checks back into the game. The Haverford quarterback breaks the huddle with Trusty to the left. Number 10, Chris Morgan, split to the right. Rob Murphy in at tailback. Kevin Sherry's the tight end to the left side, tight end to the right now as well. Motion man is Morgan. Jet sweep to him. They move to the left side. Morgan dances outside. 25, 20. Inside the 20. Still on his feet and tripped up at the 18-yard line.
That's
gain of 12 more.
Pretty jet sweep. You know, there is a day some years ago when he would run that jet sweep or student body left or whatever. And, boy, it would just be plowing the field. You just see the two lead linemen pull out, and there'd be nobody immediately to confront them, and then there'd be maybe one or two guys downfield, and it was just like you knew this was going to go for at least 20, 25 yards.
That two tight end set that time, they sealed up everybody, didn't they? Good blocking there for Morgan.
Great job.
Same look. Tight ends to either side, receivers to either side. Single setback is Murphy. He takes a handoff, and he is belted. Bounces off the tackle and gets back to the line of scrimmage, but first contact initiated by Nick Morricone out of Cardinal O'Hara. Gain of maybe a yard on the play for Murphy. Brings up second down and 9 from the East 17-yard line.
Good crowd out here tonight. About two-thirds full, it looks like, right now. People will be drifting in as they get off of work and decide it's not so hot and so uncomfortable. If you're listening to this, you can get down here. Still plenty of good seats.
Eddie Durkin back in the game. Murphy in on his left hip. As they work from the shotgun. Motion man is Juwan Valentine. Fake it to him. They pitch to Murphy off the left side. Dances press of 15. Leaps his way down to there, the 12. And we'll see where things are spotted. They'll call it the 12. And it brings up third down in about 4. So Murphy's picked up 6 on his last 2 carries in total. 4 carries for 23 yards and the first West touchdown for Rob Murphy, who, again, had some injury issues but ended up as an All-Delco honorable mention. And, you know, certainly from a statistical standpoint, even missing some games, ended up amongst the rushing leaders in Delaware County. Here's 3rd and 4. It's Murphy again off the right side. Cuts inside at the 10. He's got himself a first down as he leans forward and pulls white. 4 white shirts down to the 6-yard line. Good tough running. Murphy, not the biggest guy in the world, but awfully quick. 5'8", 170 pounder, and pulled his way for another couple yards just for some insurance there.
Very nice. You know, I'm always impressed when I come into this game. These kids have not played for so long, and you know, but as a former athlete, and I use that term extremely loosely, I do
the
understand
former,
the
right? Former.
Yeah, former, yeah, former,
yeah,
former.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I do not remember the adrenaline rushing, and you know, suddenly you're out there playing ball again.
4 wide receivers, 2 to either side. First and goal from the 6. It's Durkin handing to... No, going to keep it himself. Oh, wow, what a beautiful fake to Darren Washington. And Durkin goes in untouched off the right side. Matt Donahue from Garnet Valley just pancaked his man, and there was nobody over there. Durkin into the end zone for the second time tonight.
Fake me out.
Beautiful fake inside to Darren Washington, who carried it out well. And, well, they've hurt the East through the air, and that time did it on the ground. Lots of running from Rob Murphy, Tevin Howie, and Eddie Durkin for the second time punches it through. Extra point is on the way, and no good. Wide right for Matt Rushton. The West over the East, 19-0. We'll keep it right here. And again, we mentioned Durkin with 2 touchdowns already tonight. He's joined on the Haverford side by a couple of his teammates. Marcus Sidner, who incidentally led Delaware County in interceptions over the last year with six. He's headed to Westchester in the fall. Durkin wearing number 12 tonight. He's headed down to Wesley College along with several other players in tonight's game. I was speaking with one of the assistant coaches at Wesley before the game, is sitting down in front of us. He has, I didn't count, but I will at some point during a break here, he has at least a half dozen players headed down to Dover, and Wesley College, a Division III powerhouse all of a sudden. The head coach there, whose name is escaping me at the moment, but it has a Pencrest connection. I mean, he's a former Pencrest guy, so certainly a little pipeline down Route 1 here.
I think I saw a Wesley coach in the crowd, actually. So, yeah.
So just saying, they've found a little pipeline here to Delaware County. High end-over-end kick. It's going to come down to Nymea at the 18-yard line across the 20, lowers the shoulder and drags people to the 30-yard line, and the East will actually have their best field position of the night and will start at the 30 with 25 seconds to play here in the first quarter.
And with a little bit of pride, I might add that as I was coming up before the broadcast, I heard the Wesley coach yelling to somebody, "Yeah, Haven Football got nets here, Haven Football got nets here." I thought, okay, at least we're known someplace.
Very good. Well, also from Haverford, Pete Kerlin tonight, and he is headed to Westchester to play football in the fall. So, again, lots of talented Haverford players here tonight. Not finished a 9-3 season, had a playoff, one-game playoff run that ended against CB South back in 2012. But back to pass for the first time, Sal Bello, and he wants it all deep down the far side. It's incomplete. Oh, down near the 30-yard line was number 17, Linnell Bird from Chichester. He had a step and had it go just off his fingertips. So Sal Bello from Archbishop Carroll, speaking of injuries, missed some time his senior year, so this is sort of one more time to put on the pads. And how's that for your first pass of the game? Aired out about 50 yards in the air. Pretty impressive throw. Just off the mark, looking for Bird. Brings up second down and 10 from the 30. Two wide receivers, one to either side, two tight ends and an I formation behind Bello, who's under center with 16 seconds to play here in the first quarter. Give this to Warren Allen. Allen is belted down. Hit in the backfield by number 45, P.J. Quinn. Quinn from Pencrest came off that edge and dropped him after a gain of maybe a half yard, to be generous. And that will do it for the first quarter clock. So one quarter in the books, and the West has to be feeling good right now. The Central League All-Stars, with help from their buddies from Episcopal and the Haverford School, on top after one quarter of play. The West 19, the East nothing. Stick with us. See what the East can put together when we come back. Second quarter action on the way when you come back with Haven Football right now.
The world of internet sports broadcasting is rapidly expanding into the amateur ranks. Schools, high school and college, as well as minor league sports clubs, are finding out about the hottest new streamer on the planet, EasyStream.com. In just minutes, your crew can have its sporting events live and on the internet. For more information, call 800-866-7510 or log on to EasyStream.com. EasyStream, streaming made easy.
This is Dan Baker, public address announcer for the Philadelphia Phillies and the Philadelphia Eagles. And you're listening to High School Football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Thank you, Mr. Baker, and welcome back to Leslie Quick Stadium here in Chester, Pennsylvania. Brian Carroll and Mike Mayer ready to bring you second quarter action here in the Hero Bowl. The East trailing by 19, but with the football on third down and 10, firing high and incomplete. Sal Bello looking for Bird on that left sideline, and had they connected, he had room to go get that first down. But
the East has been a couple of steps away from making some scores here, making something happen.
Just 1 for 4 throwing the football, all told, for the two East quarterbacks so far, Tyler Street and Sal Bello. And on the punt for the third time is Interboro's Mike Cristaldi, and that's not the guy you want as one of the busiest guys on the field in the first quarter.
Absolutely.
Is your punter.
And he's been having some inconsistency. There's some consistency problems. So
here's Cristaldi. First one not so hot. Second one much better. Here he steps into the third one.
Nice.
A wobbler across the 50-yard line. Oh, it hit a player in the back, and the East has a shot at it. There's a scramble inside the 45. Let's see. They'll unpile. How's that for good aim?
He says they have it. We'll see.
It hit a West player right in the right between the numbers and the back, and the East is on top of it. That's a heads-up special teams play.
Yep.
The West capitalized earlier on a kickoff that was not fielded, and this one, again, just good hustle downfield. Did not see who came out of the pile with it, but the East raring to go now, trailing 19-0, but by far their best field position. First and 10 from the West 43. They move left to right here in this second quarter. Sal Bello from Archbishop Carroll is your quarterback. Also into the game, Corey Broach, wide receiver from Penwood. He's split to the right. Also split to the right side is number four, Teron Dunbar of Cardinal O'Hara. He's in the slot and split to the far side of the field to the left. And whistles first. But number 10, Breon Chambers of Chester. And that's the third timeout. Third timeout here used by the East squad as they seem to have a formation problem. So now the East out of timeouts. And in a game like this, on a night like this, as hot as it is.
And down by 19.
Yeah, don't want to burn those early. But here we are with 11:41 to play in the first half and the East out of timeouts. We'll keep it right here just again to mention some of the players in tonight's game here. Delco Christian, represented by one player tonight, Caleb Favino. Just a 2-5 season for Delco Christian this year, but they were really hit hard by graduation after a single-A playoff run the year prior. But Caleb Favino, good to have him here tonight. It's been a while since we've seen a player from Delco Christian. On the field for this game. Penwood, again, tough season, 0-11, but again, we're just hammered by graduation. The previous year won the Del Valle League and gave North Penn all they could handle in the first round of the playoffs. But really hammered by graduation, went winless. But Corey Broach, Rich Ringgold, and Guaman Ganwo is all three of those guys. Thank you for your efforts on the field in 2012 and for tonight. So, first and 10 from the 43. The East on the move, tossed to the left side, looking for room is Austin Q. He dances his way across the 40 and maybe to the 39, and that's about it. So good push from the left side. Didn't look like there was much room, and suddenly that's a gain of four.
Well, yeah, but, you know, the offensive line really did a great job of pushing the defensive line back 2 or 3 yards. And then, you know, he picked up an extra yard on his own. So that, you know, as my coach used to say, you know, 4-4-4 first down.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So not much total offense here from the East through one quarter play. We're talking about less than 20 yards of offense. Their biggest play of the night was actually a 15-yard pass interference penalty that moved the ball. But here,
and give him a first down, right?
Second and 6 from the 39, starting to get things together here in the early part of this second quarter. Broach in motion, flag first.
Time.
And I think we have delay of the game. Yep. And the East are going to go from second and 6 to second and 11.
That'll kill your momentum right there.
Probably going to draw up a new play as Bello walks over to the sideline here looking for instruction. And, yeah, that's a tough one. And, again, that's another one where it's a penalty. You look at what would be the common penalties in games like this. You'd see special teams and formation-type mistakes. I haven't said it on the air yet, but it looks like the officials are being pretty lenient about 12 men in the huddle and
substitution.
Which it should be for a game like this. But, you know, delay of the game, you can imagine, would be one that pops up more often than not. Offset eye formation. Bello, 7-step drop, rolling to his right now. Looking. Eyes downfield. Has a man breaking free. Naimea is out there, and he hauls it in with a catch. Had to lunge forward to do it, or else he'd be in the end zone, but he hauls it in at the 21-yard line. First and 10 for the East. They are knocking on the door now.
Good defensive pressure, too. Forced that throw, but he kept his eyes downfield and knew where his target was, and of course, when a quarterback starts running towards the line of scrimmage, a lot of people like to cheat a little bit in to maybe pick him up if he tries to break for a run, and that'll kill you on pass defense when you let that happen to you.
All three East completions have gone to big 45, Corbin Naima. And it's first and 10 at the 21-yard line. Three catches for 24 yards for the big tight end. He sets up to the right side of the line. Receivers are split. Two tight ends now. As number 30, Rashawn Fentress also checks in the game. Play fake. Under heavy pressure, Bello takes a heavy hit, does well to get rid of it. Nice work there from number 33, Teddy Abargan from Episcopal Academy, whose defense this year was just spectacular.
Not taking any away from 33. I think there was a breakdown on the line offense. I think there were a couple of pulling players who were not supposed to pull on that play.
So a little rollout pass off the play action, and there were two red shirts in front of him. Abargan made him pay, and Bello did well just to get rid of that.
Yes, he did. Good heads up
feet of the intended receiver, Rashawn Fentress. Live to fight another day here as it comes to second and 10. Teron Dunbar split to the far side, singled up out there with Garnet Valley's Ryan Corkery to the left of the formation. Bello in the gun, Branch split to the right. Nicholson in there, and now again looks like a delay of game penalty. Ouch. Second delay of game penalty on this drive for the East. 10-13 to play in the first half.
Officials can have a little discretion on some stuff, but boy, you got that 35-second clock just staring you in the face. It's tough to, or 25-second clock in this case. We're not used to 25-second clocks because we don't see time clocks on the field like
right,
that.
Right, right. A college stadium here, it's front and center. Everybody here can see it. It's not just the back judge holding up his hand for the quarterback to see. Second down now, and 15. Back, looking. Bello, deep down the left sideline, has a man out there. Dunbar makes the catch. Flags everywhere. Would have been interference anyway. But Teron Dunbar hauls it in for the East touchdown.
That was worth the price of admission right there.
Pretty good coverage, believe it or not, from Corkery, who was right on his hip and probably too much so, as you saw some laundry there. Now the officials are gathering.
Unless they saw him push.
Unless they're going to say offensive pass.
Yeah, I don't see that.
That's probably the nicest way to say it. We didn't see it from about 100 yards away.
And we know everything.
Yes, right. But anyway, nice delivery from Bello. Dunbar hauls it in. And the Cardinal O'Hara senior, all-purpose player, has himself a touchdown. Penalty was indeed on the defense. It is declined, and the East, with 10:05 to play here in the second quarter, is on the board. Bello to Dunbar from 26 yards out. That's first reception from anybody aside from from Big 45,
what are they
Corbin Naima.
What are they doing?
I don't know. You figure that out. I'm just trying to count up the yards.
They showed the Klein penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And now what are they setting the ball up for? What is this?
Extra point, I would think.
No, from the 12?
Well, unless there was something after the fact.
No, then they'd march backwards from the 3.
Is there a post play? Is there two fouls on the play? Or one post?
I don't know. The chains are still up. The second down marker is still standing.
Well, at any rate, Dunbar is headed to Shippensburg.
Touchdown,
in the fall.
Okay.
Touchdown indeed. Yeah,
okay.
East can feel good about that one. 26 yards, Bello to Dunbar. After really a heads-up special teams play, fielding what would be called a muffed punt, although it wasn't even one of the return men. It was no real mistake other than having the bad luck of the ball hitting you in the backside. But really, heads-up play from the East to pick it up in West territory. Two big completions on the drive. The 17-yarder to Naima to put him down near the edge of the red zone, and then a 26-yarder after the second delay of game penalty. And we still are trying to get things lined up for the
extra. Well, you know what they're going to do. They're going to take the pass interference on the kickoff.
On the kickoff.
There
right.
You go.
Right.
Which
okay.
is one of the new PIA rules of a couple years ago, I think.
Mike Cristaldi on to attempt the extra point. Out of the hold of Nick Rentos from Interborough. Two Interborough teammates trying to put the seventh point on the board. Kick is away, and it is good. Rob Murphy coming in off the edge. We saw that Strathaven-Springfield game. We saw Murphy block two kicks, one field goal and one extra point in the game earlier this year, and he almost got a hand on that one. But the East pounds it through. 19-7 is your score with 10:05 to play here in the first half. Also for the East squad tonight, five players from Sun Valley. Four taking part. That's number 33, Dan Griffin, the running back. Ryan France is offensive center. He's wearing 55 tonight. Derek Seng is wearing 78. He's played some at left tackle. And defensive tackle Vaughn Fulton. The Vanguards finished 7-5 this year, and they were really on the edge of playoff contention for much of the way. Now, what hurt them was they did not have a win this past year in 2012 against a team with a winning record.
Right.
All seven of their wins came against teams with losing records. But considering where Sun Valley was for the prior, let's call it 3 to 4 years, you know, on the edge of, you know,
you got to start somewhere. Yeah, absolutely.
Really a terrific job there.
I mean, what would Laura Marion give for a 7-5 record,
right,
against anybody?
That's right. So look out for Sun Valley. Coach Grugan starting to turn things around down there on Dutton Mill Road. So, again, good to see four of the Vanguards here tonight. Four players from Chichester and a first-year coach there doing a good job as well, as Chichester got three wins this past season. Back to that in a moment. Here's a line drive kick, and they're going to give him a chance to bring it out. And here comes Juwan Valentine across the 10, 15, sheds a tackle, spins his way, still on his feet, 25 out to the 26.
Great effort.
28 yards on the return before he's finally stopped by Alex Cheatham from Glenn Mills.
And he thought he was going to go all the way. I can tell by the way he was looking
at it. That's right. That's right. And we've seen some good returns here in this game over the last several years.
Well, like you pointed out, special teams are probably the toughest thing to really put together for this. First of all, in a regular season, you don't spend a whole lot of time in high school playing it.
Right.
And certainly for a game like this, you just do what you have to make it work.
Pat Moriarty, record-setting quarterback out of Harrington, Delaware County's all-time leader in passing yardage and touchdown passes, is in the game. In the shotgun, four wide receivers, dumps to the left side, complete to Morgan, who's dropped immediately at the 31-yard line. Gain of about five on the play, but certainly effective. So Sal Bello to Teron Dunbar from 26 yards out. Came at the 10:02 mark of the second quarter and has the East on the board, but the West with the football at their own 31-yard line. Second down and six with a 19-7 lead. Two receivers either side, Durkin in the game with Darren Washington at running back. Motion man is Bennett. They give it to the Garnet Valley speedster off the right side, jet sweep, and he goes nowhere. In fact, backwards for a couple. Jordan Bennett headed to Slippery Rock University. He has, he's had 40 times measured in the 4-4 range. So, again, if he gets in the open field, look out. But
no chance in that one.
Certainly no open field on the right side that time, thanks to Evan Harvey and others. Number 40 in at defensive end now for the East is Nick Morricone, who's been at linebacker tonight as well. Third down and eight. Moriarty back in the game. Four wide. Back, looking, firing high, and nearly intercepted. Wow. Getting way up in the air was Taji Duncan at linebacker, and boy, he almost hauled that in. Moriarty threw a dart.
That was huge.
And at about 8 yards, he just came out of nowhere, jumped through the roof to get two hands on it, but couldn't haul it in. Pass falls incomplete.
And now we have the first punt for the West, don't we?
Yep. So for the first time, we'll see Cam Dorham, first team all-central punter from Springfield.
And distinctive blue helmets.
They'll run a quick 11th player on the field. Good idea here for the West. Getting the special teams ready. Standing deep to return for the East is Rich Ringgold. Dorham gets a clean snap, steps into it. Low line drive kick. Ringgold may have a chance if it gets a good bounce. Bounces to him, and he does have a shot here at the 35-yard
line. Ooh, nice
block. Looks like gets a good block at the 45. Out near midfield, turns up, looking for another block, and Ringgold at the 40. 35-30, needs one more block, and it'll spring him to the 10. 5, Rich Ringgold, touchdown. But there are flags on the play way down where the initial block was. Now, I don't know if they're going to say during the play.
Yeah, they will. They will. There was a fight broke out shortly after that great block.
There were coaches who actually scrambled onto the field.
That's because the refs didn't see it. They were all busy with the play.
Got to the end zone, but now there are flags, and the question now is, do we have a 65-yard beautiful punt return for a score?
Or that had nothing to do with the fight.
Are we going to have a penalty 50 yards behind the play that's going to wipe it out?
Well, the problem is when the ref threw the flag, the fight was in full force, so they really can't call it on one player or the other. They're going to have to call it on both of them. I think the coaches are upset with the refs because the refs never saw it until it was well underway.
Right.
Which is why they had to run out to stop it, which is unfortunate in a game like this. But, you know, tempers are tempers. You get your clock cleaned on a block, you're not happy about it no matter what the cause. But, you know, good sports, you get up and shake it off and play football.
You called it right in the middle, Mike. I didn't see the actual block, whether it was legal or not. But
I thought it was.
You thought it was a good, clean block.
Yeah, right, the flag was thrown simply for the fight.
Right, right.
By the time that flag was thrown, the two kids were literally wrestling each other down to the ground. And if that's all the ref saw, he's got to call offsetting penalties, which means they're going to do it over again.
Well, Rich Ringgold gave us all a thrill here regardless. I don't know if this will stand, but, boy, that was a nice return. Got some good blocking, a little shake and bake. And
I missed most of the return because I was busy watching the shenanigans going on.
There.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Can't see all of it, but Ringgold for Penwood, again, tough season for the Patriots, but really, again, nice little shock for all of us. I started to mention Chichester as well a moment ago. Three wins for Chichester with a first-year coach, came in under a difficult circumstance after the passing of another new coach down there. But three wins for the Eagles this year, and tonight, again, we've mentioned a few of these guys already. Linnell Bird has been the intended receiver on a handful of passes already tonight.
Ooh.
Now, what do we have here?
Are you just calling illegal block?
Unsportsmanlike conduct on the west, dead ball unsportsmanlike on the east. They are going to say first down.
From the 20.
From the 20. They're going to march it off.
15 yards.
Okay. So here's, I think, what they're trying to explain to the two head coaches on the field right now. If they said illegal block, which, again, we didn't see that flag right away. I guess that came in late. But they're going to say illegal block and then two unsportsmanlike fouls that I believe would offset. That I guess if they call that post play, if they're saying that was after the touchdown was made,
but it wasn't.
Well, okay. All right. Well, you can go argue with the eight police officers that are
yeah,
on the
right.
field. But I think, based on where they're marking the football, they're going to say illegal block the 35-yard line. That's going backwards 15 yards for the East. It'll spot it at the 20, wiping out a 65-yard punt return for Rich Ringgold. And then the unnecessary roughness on sportsmanlike
stuff. Or maybe they're calling fourth down. Maybe they're going to punt it again, which makes more sense to me.
Certainly. If it's during the play and the foul's offset, they should re-kick. But I don't know. I don't know what they're sorting out. But, again, Chichester, three wins. Linnell Bird, Corbin Naima, and Roger Burke and Dan Murtaugh, the four Eagles here participating tonight. For Chester, good group here for Chester with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the Clippers here. Daryl Nicholson at tailback. Breon Chambers has been at wide receiver. Jawan Clayton and Tajid Duncan have been on the defensive side of the ball. They're joined also by 25 Khalil Thompson and 58 defensive end Daquan Dill. So, again, quite a number of good players here for the East squad, and many of them with college plans or postgraduate plans. We'll get to more of the West guys later on.
Yeah, okay, they are going to set it up at the 20, first and 10.
Okay.
So basically, the East gets kind of pushed back to the 20. I think the foul took place at around the 35.
Tough break.
It's, yeah.
19-7 was almost, you know, potentially 19-14 with a really terrific run from Ringgold. And it's not a bad kick by Durham. You know, it was a little low, but certainly, you know, had plenty of distance.
Well, and I thought it was a clean block. I mean,
yeah.
The indication was it you know, behind the knees, which would be a below the waist.
Yeah, like a clip, basically.
Well, yeah, and I'm just like, you know, and that was peculiar because the block itself seemed to be upper body, but whatever. It's all for fun. Let's just get it together and play some football, which is where we're at.
So the East will try it again. Two receivers to the right, one to the left on first and 10. Into the game, Nick Rentos at quarterback and hands inside to his teammate Warren Allen, who runs smack into number 41. That Ridley linebacker, Tyler Harris, has been in on a couple of tackles already today. So, again, it'll be second down and about 10 as maybe the length of the football is all Allen was able to move it. So, Nick Rentos, Interborough quarterback this year. Again, the Bucks, you know, finished, you know, with an outstanding record, but boy, did they turn it on when it counted.
I was going to say,
getting into those District 1 playoffs,
yep,
and making a heck of a run. More on that later. Here, they finally connect with Bird, and Linnell Bird takes it out near the 28-yard line. It's going to bring up third down and about 2. So 6:48, 6:47 and counting to play here before halftime. And the East trying to tilt the field a little bit. Moments ago, we almost had ourselves a 19-14 game.
Yep.
And penalty wiped out the long punt return. And instead, it's now 19-7 in the East, just trying to move the chains here and not give the ball back to the West with any kind of field position. So, Linnell Bird of Chichester with a 7-yard gain brings up third down and 3 after his first catch of the night. Rentos fumbles the snap, looking, steps out of trouble for momentarily, but then he is swarmed under. And there he is again, Tyler Harris with a sack back to the 25-yard line. He has been in and around the football all night long, and no love lost there between Ridley and Interboro. So, you know, nice to see those two guys meet up. It's, that Thanksgiving Day game is, you know, in recent years has lost a little bit of luster in the sense that the playoffs have gotten in the way for one or more teams. But they get to meet up, at least a handful of seniors get to meet up tonight. Cristaldi on to punt it away. It'll bring up fourth down and 5. Deep to return, Rob Murphy and Juwan Valentine. Cristaldi kicks it away for the East. Spiraling kick angled towards Murphy. Started a single fair catch. Nobody seemed to see it because he's got a running room. 50, 40 flags all over the place. He's down the near side of the 15, 20, and, or 5, and he is in for a touchdown, but I think this is coming back. And now you've got flags everywhere, helmets on the field. Again, 40 yards away from the play. So, boy, tempers are flaring. Penny Brown and number 28, Hakeem Whitaker involved. So Murphy, I thought he got away with signaling for
yes,
the catch,
absolutely.
And nobody seemed to see it but us or others, maybe.
Yeah.
Was not a distinct waving hand motion, but he thought about it, changed his mind, and took off. It would be a 60-yard punt return for a touchdown.
Anytime your hand goes above your head on a and you're on a kickoff receiving or a punt receiving, that's a fair catch, guys. Yeah.
So a 63-yard punt return for a score, I think, is coming back yet again. So we've had two electric runbacks here, but nothing to show for it on the scoreboard. 19-7, the West on top of the East, and at the very least, the West is going to end up with the football back, as Murphy at least fielded the ball cleanly. And
right.
Looks like they're going to march.
And the East is going to have to be careful here, because right now at 19-7, this could be a tough deficit to try to follow if the West manages to find a way into the end zone before the half in 5 minutes and 16 seconds. So the East is going to have to get tough here and make sure that they do not allow another score.
And the East and the West together need to be aware and thoughtful about keeping their heads here.
Right.
Again, it is hot and sticky, and the tempers start to flare a little bit. Maybe you get a little edgy when it's, 80-something? Is it still 90 degrees?
Well, that's what I say. I don't believe that. I'm going to refresh it and see whether I get a little bit of a report
everything
here.
Going here with the
87 now. Feels like 85.
A balmy 87 at, 8:30 at night. So, my goodness. So, the officials still sorting this out.
Why don't we go to a break and we'll come back.
We'll take a short time out, figure out who has the football, where they have it, are they going to kick it again? Who knows what, as they sort out some rough stuff with the penalties here in the 37th Annual Hero Bowl. We're glad you're joining us, either live or on the archive, right here on HavenFootball.net.
Hi, I need a new debit card.
One moment, please, Stephen. You should receive your new card within 10 to 12 business days.
10 to 12 business days?
Business days are considered Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
I know what business
Thursday,
days are.
Friday. Business days do not include...
It's time to bank human again.
Saturday.
That's why at TD Bank, all of our checking accounts come with a free debit card on the spot, any day of the week. TD Bank, America's most convenient bank.
Member FDIC.
This is Keith Jackson reminding you you're listening to High School Football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Well, I think they have the penalties sorted out here with 5:16 to play before halftime. The West is on top, 19-7, and it seems like they've more or less returned the favor. The East had a 65-yard punt return touchdown wiped out by a penalty, and it backed them up 15 yards here. Looks like a 10-yard penalty that wipes out Rob Murphy's 63-yard
penalty. But I think they caught the fair catch. Because it's from the point of the fair catch, it looks like.
Yeah, I don't know. And then some, I think.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Tevin Howie and Darren Washington are the setbacks, alongside of Pat Moriarty, who's in the gun. Back to pass. Quick slant. Fire.
Oh.
Intercepted at the 30. Looking for a block at the 20. 15 and tripped up right there. But number 28 jumps the slant. That's Hakeem Whitaker of Academy Park. nicely done.
Well, that certainly will stop the West from scoring, won't it?
You know, that is a tough, tough timing route. You really count on your receiver to jump in front and shield it if anybody is late, and that's kind of what it looked like. Either the throw came out a little late or the receiver started angling upfield a little bit, and Hakeem Witter just sat right down. It hit him right between the numbers. Second turnover of the night for the West. Second interception for the East defense. One for Dickerson, one for Whitaker. Play clock ticking now. 11 seconds, 10 seconds. They're running into play for Bird, and the East is going to have to hurry here if they want first and 10 from the West 15-yard line. They break the huddle in a hurry. They set with three
wide receivers.
They
can't take a timeout.
They're out of timeouts. There is no timeout to give them. The clock is at zero. Nobody saw it. Back to pass Rentos looking for Fentress. He's got it for a touchdown. 15 yards for a touchdown, and the clock for the West side is saying that play clock was at zero
for
a couple of seconds, but hey, you got to play the game, play to the whistle. I don't know that the kids knew that. Well, you know what? Rentos to Fentress has happened so many times over the last season. I don't know if anybody stops that anyway. So 15
you know,
yards.
What I'm curious about is when you call a timeout and you have none, isn't that a penalty as well?
That is another consideration. So, again, we have it's an all-star game. Everybody's doing their best.
And everybody's a little rusty to boot.
So, but anyway.
It's all right.
Devin Fentress headed to Shippensburg this fall, caught 39 passes and 7 touchdowns off the arm of Nick Rentos this year, and he has himself a touchdown, and just as importantly, has the East really in business here. They trail 19-13, extra point on the way. It is up. It is good. We have ourselves a five-point ball game with 5 minutes to play here in the first half, and it seems to be this side of the field is just tilted maybe.
Yes.
Team moving left to right.
Down river.
They seem to have all the momentum here in the early going, so Rentos to Fentress from 15 yards, one play after the interception where Hakeem Whitaker jumped that slant route. So Nick Rentos, pretty nice little pass there.
Yes, it was.
He's been throwing the baseball around for the last several months to turn around and throw
the ball. Boy, how about that baseball season for Strathaven this year, huh?
Oh, boy. 20-0. Congratulations to Coach Feely and the Panthers on a Central League title. First round bye in the playoffs, a top seed in the South. It did not end.
Then they ran into a buzzsaw called Mayor, as a matter of fact, North Penn.
North Penn's
who pitched a beautiful game.
A wonderful day on Saturday, and the Panthers held scoreless for the first time this season and put an end more prematurely than they would have liked to a magical run. But 20-0 to start a season is nothing to be too upset about. And again, congratulations to the Panthers. And the two Strathaven Panthers here tonight, Tevin Howie and Kevin Sherry, congratulations to them as well with their and all these guys with their pending graduations. Kevin Sherry actually told me before the game he's going to play football next year at Dickinson College.
Oh, good for him.
Very exciting there. And he really had a whale of a season. One of only two players to be first-team All-Central League. He was on first-team as a tight end and as a defensive end. So Kevin Sherry will continue playing football in the fall at Dickinson.
Oop.
Here's a short squib kick, and now look out, live ball here, and wow, heads up play.
Yep.
Great job. And what do you want to say there about the big offensive lineman from Marple Newtown? I don't know that number 60, Corey Power, gets his hands on the football all that often for head coach.
Did a nice job there.
He's up in the first line of defense there and or blocking there for the return team. And a very short kick off the side of the foot of Cleland, really a muffed kick. And Power with a heads-up play to pounce on it at the 37-yard line, and the West will start there. They lead by 5, 19-14. They move right to left and have first and 10 at their own 37-yard line. Durkin in at quarterback. Tevin Howie alongside of him. Receivers are split, two tight end set, and they keep it. Durkin off the left side, 40, ducks inside. And takes it to the 44-yard line. Eddie Durkin with a gain of 7 on the play. Durkin was the first-team All-Delco quarterback this year. Again, first in passing efficiency with a passer rating of 118.7. 1,558 yards, 19 touchdown passes, tied for the county lead. Just really a tremendous, tremendous run, and really what a tremendous batch of quarterbacks the Central League had
this
year. More on that momentarily. Second down and four. Gives it to Tevin Howe. He cuts back up the right side, and he has himself a first down. Shedding tacklers out to the 50-yard line goes Tevin.
Boy, just like last year.
Yep. He's been fun to watch, really, just to grow and just physically stronger since, you know, we're watching him as a 10th grader. We saw him run through a lot of tackles for Strathaven this past season, and Howie, with over 1,300 yards, 19 touchdowns, led the county in rushing touchdowns. So first and 10, the nose of the football on the midfield stripe. West on the move. Durkin with backs to either side, Washington and Murphy. Receivers are split. Takes the shotgun snap, hands to Murphy. Murphy with speed off the left side, cuts inside. Wow, what a cut. Sideways at the 35, 30. Murphy, ankle-breaking cuts here. Takes him down to the 25-yard line. Gain of 25.
That was our Springfield gave everybody cuts, nightmares last year. That was just
Springfield the last couple of years, and again, had Murphy been healthy these last couple of years, been able to stay healthy for the full season, you'd be talking about really a dynamic football player. But again, when he's healthy, he's fun to watch. Been fun to watch the last 20 minutes of football action tonight. Tevin Howie checks back into the game. Darren Washington alongside of the quarterback Moriarty in the shotgun set. Morgan split to the right, Valentine to the left. Moriarty rolling to his left, all kinds of time, steps into a throw, firing, and he has Valentine, a beautiful catch. Wow, off his shoe tops, lunging out of bounds, and got his foot in at the 8-yard line. Gain of 17, great delivery, and even better catch from Juwan Valentine.
Well, it's catches like that. We've seen a few plays tonight. You wish you had a camera on him.
Yep.
I know there is a company that's videotaping this game tonight, so that'll be good for posterity.
Excellent work there. Moriarty to Kenny Brown. We've seen that plenty of times over the last year, but Valentine, a talented player as well. Ernest Pendleton, slot left. Cam Durham, slot right. Tevin Howie, the single setback along with Durkin. Durham is the motion man. Give this to Tevin Howie off the right side. He runs inside the 5 and down to the 3.
I thought he was going to score there. That was a big wide hole, but that did shut down quickly.
Good work by the defense that time to close it. Vaughn Fulton in on the stop, along with 51, Roger Burke out of Chichester. Tevin Howie picks up 5 there and sets up 2nd and goal from the 3. We'll have Jim Alsman on at halftime, and he'll probably have some statistical updates to give us. But unofficially, we have Tevin Howie for 3 carries for 17 yards. Rob Murphy leading the way for the West. 6 carries, 54 yards, and a touchdown.
Illegal motion.
Illegal motion is going to back up the West back to the 8-yard line, set up 2nd and goal. So we will see what they can draw up here as it's Moriarty who checks back into the ballgame.
I always wanted to have a defensive lineman that was called Sherlock Holmes to play off against Moriarty.
Well done. Moriarty, jet sweep to Pendleton. Pendleton gets a block and he will go in untouched. Wow! Untouched and a pancake block. Thanks to big number 50, Matt Sinex, the All-Delco from Ridley, just led the way, and Pendleton goes in for the West score from 8 yards out. 2:21 to play here in the second quarter, and the West has extended their lead to 11, extra point pending. Ernest Pendleton, that jet sweep tonight has been awfully good.
Yep, it's really been. They've really got the number on the able to play off the defensive ends and really just seal them off. And now we just have a timeout.
2:21. This is the first timeout called by the West. I guess they want to get it right on the from the standpoint of the extra point. Or do they even consider going for two?
Well,
by
that's
11,
what I'm wondering. Yeah.
A 13-point game.
I think they were content with their lead, but when they saw how fast these came back, I'm thinking now they're saying to themselves, we better play this a little smarter now.
Mm-hmm. So, Eddie Durkin for the West with a couple of touchdown runs tonight. Rob Murphy with the first touchdown for the West, and now Pendleton has it in the end zone here. An 8-yard run at the 2:21 mark of this second quarter. And the West 25, East 14, still with lots of time to play here. And we are, we've seen some high scoring games
yes,
here
we
in
have.
The past. We've also
and seen some close games.
Yeah. Last year's game, 45-32, the mm-hmm. East on top of the West. The year before that, the West, 37-21. But here, they go for two, and it comes up short. Short is the West here, so the 11-point lead will stay there. And, again, this West squad, like I mentioned earlier, you know, eight straight wins from 2000 to 2007. And then in 2008, the East finally broke through in that classic. We were here for that one, the three overtime game.
Yep.
35-29, the East finally held on there. 2009, West 24, East 7. 2010, back the other way. East 20, West 13. The West took advantage in 2011, West 37, East 21. And then last year, the East in that shootout, 45-32.
And as I recall, the West was looking like they were going to trounce the East for a while, and then the East came back and beat them.
And it just evaporated very quickly. So, again, these kinds of games, you know, a lot of pride on the field here. There's a lot of kids that know they're playing maybe for the last time, and there's some neighborhood rivalries we've seen tonight, some trash talking, some, unnecessary roughness, all sorts of interesting stuff. So
I'm looking at a T-shirt here. I don't know what school it is, but it's Tradition Never Graduates.
Yep. Interesting. I like that. We'll have to ask him to turn around. But all right, here we go.
Ooh.
High end-over-end kick from Rushton. It's going to be fielded at about 3 yards deep in the end zone. This is Warren Allen at the 15, 20, 25. Ooh. And oh, my goodness, Shane Dougherty de-cleated him and lost his own helmet in the process. My goodness. I don't know if the field mic picked it up. I could hear it through the headset. But Dougherty absolutely lights up Warren Allen at the 21-yard line. Both players no worse for the wear. Good thing.
Right now,
good
anyway.
Thing.
Yeah.
it's what we love about football and what makes you hold your breath, too. But both of those kids got up fine, and still the crowd abuzz with the hit right there. My goodness.
That was a world-class hit. And that's, you know, when you throw yourself at somebody with total reckless abandon like that, you know, that's football.
And with a 40-yard head start on kick coverage, that is pretty insane, pretty intense. Tyler Street, second-team All-Delco quarterback out of Academy Park, back in the game now. Street with first and 10 from the 22, flags on the play, snap came a little later than everybody else took off. So it'll back him up 5 yards for false start. My goodness, what a shot that was.
I can remember watching Dan Conner, who played for Strathaven, and I'll tell you, he would hit people. In those days, I was doing the stats on the sidelines, and he would come by and hit somebody in front of me, and I would see stars just for, you know, unfortunately, everybody was always all right. Nobody ever got hurt by it, but although he did run into me, almost killed me.
Yeah.
He ran into me in the sidelines. I did a complete 180 somersault down on the ground.
Well, these guys, again, are year after year when we cover this game, there's no holding back. That's, you know, these guys are just out there hitting and having fun. And more of the same tonight. Street back to pass on first and 15. Fires complete out near the 30-yard line to Teron Dunbar, his second catch of the night. Picks up the penalty yardage and more. It's going to bring up second down and about five. So Dunbar on the receiving end of a touchdown catch. Now they go no huddle, hurry up offense. All right, this will be interesting to keep up with here. Shotgun look. Three wide. Street back to pass. Love wants all of it down this near sideline. Has a man out there for Linnell Bird, who makes the catch, but is 5 yards out of bounds. Good coverage from Marcus Sidner of Haverford.
And now we're at 143 for the first half.
So, 1:43 to play in the first half. The East, remember, out of timeouts. So, no timeouts. The clock will stop momentarily to reset the chains should they pick up a first down.
But they've got a whole half of football. So, you know, I would, you know, be a little cautious here. You don't want to throw a ball, throw an interception, give
the West
another score, right?
Shot. Yep, that's exactly right.
So you know, I definitely would go for the score here, but I wouldn't go crazy with it. It's not the end of the game, just the end of the first half.
So, third down and about four. Street in the shotgun.
four wide, two to either side from the right hash. Back to pass, looking, firing to the near sideline, quick out, complete, and big hit, and they stay in bounds, but it will stop the clock momentarily to move the chains. But a nice catch, the first of the night for Earl Hargrove. Has it out to the 30, let's see where they spot this.
39-yard
line. Gain of 9 on the play. And it brings up 1st and 10 for the East. Clock ticking, 126, 125. Street calling out the signals. 4 wide on 1st and 10. Back to pass, looking, firing to the outside. Has his man out there complete and falling down. And the clock will continue to tick, 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 tick. Yep. That's Breon Chambers, his first catch of the night.
He really threw it too high for him, and he went up and got it. That would have been a better move in hindsight, obviously, to just drop the ball and just let the time stop.
Inside of a minute now, second down and 10, no gain on the completion to Chambers. Street in the shotgun. Back, looking, down the right sideline, has a man out there. Hargrove did not know it was coming.
Yep.
Oh, my, he slowed up, and boy.
If he turned on the Jets, he might have been there for it.
Good coverage there from Jordan Bennett of Garnet Valley, but Hargrove just never saw it. Pass overthrown, but in part because the receiver slowed down. So Hargrove and Street trying to get on the same page. They connected earlier for a big play to get a first down, but not that time. Clock stops with 48 seconds to play here before half. The East trailing 25-14, trying to get something on the board again before halftime. They will receive the second half kickoff, so if they can get something here, they could be in a position to tie or take the lead in the second half. Back to pass the Street, rolling to his right, looking, fire to the near sideline. It is caught, and no, they say out of bounds. Incomplete. Breon Chambers, the intended receiver. In coverage is Sidner, along with Shane Dougherty. Mike Crowley also in the game now for Ridley. A defensive back. The Ridley guys, again, an 11-1 season that saw it end in the second round of the playoffs, a loss to Springford in which they flat out gave away that game with turnovers, fell behind, gave up 3 defensive touchdowns with the turnovers. And again, Central League champs, great run, 10-0 in the regular season, first round playoff win. And then, boy, the wheels fell off in that second round for the Green Raiders. So, lots of seniors here tonight, but the East now has to punt it away with 37 seconds left. Kick is high, fielded by Kevin Trusty at the 28-yard line. He is hit, and a good, good tackle by Evan Harvey. Harvey with a good open field tackle.
Here
now
we
flags
go again.
Him in late, and there's another battle. Fight, 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 and now sidelines are emptying. This is bad news here. The players need to keep their cool here and get off the field, the ones who left the sideline in particular. So here we go. We've got problems as the players are, you know, really have to start to keep their heads here. And it seems to be on the special teams. It's the one-on-one battles for the gunners especially. You know, these guys are fighting their way down the field trying to get loose.
And they're all starters. I mean, they're all, they're not.
So, with 28 seconds to play here before halftime, the flags on the field yet again. And, again, it's just a very frustrating thing. It's just this fine line to remember and remind and tell the kids you are playing for charity, you are playing for fun. But you're still going to play with intensity. We still want you to hit. We still want you to tackle. And we still want you to play hard and win. So it's really, in a game like this one, it's really a fine line here to walk for both the officials and for the players and coaches themselves. So with 28 seconds to play here before halftime, it would not shock me if they're going to walk this off. Yeah, I did this. From a competition standpoint, the West might be saying in one breath, my goodness, we're about to get the football back with time on the clock, but they're going to walk it to the locker rooms. They're
try
basically
going to
just
cool down.
Get these guys ready to cool down and give these guys a chance to keep their heads and get their heads on straight for the second half. Good move here.
Yep.
Good move here with 28 seconds left. They will run the clock down at halftime
And 25-14, the West on top of the East. You know, the fans and the crowd, they're enjoying the football action. It's just some of the post-play and nonsense that is getting in the way at the moment. So, in the meantime, we will stick with we'll take it to the halftime locker room and see what happens after that. And in the meantime, I'm also looking around. There's a lot of coaches here from lots of teams. I saw Ray Junta from Marple Newtown, Rich Stroud from Pencrest, formerly of Garnet Valley, but Rich Stroud is here, the head coach at Pencrest. So one of the, there's Pat Clancy from Strathaven, one of the assistants at Strathaven, and of course many of the other coaches are actually on the field tonight with, you know, with volunteering their time for the players. So 25-14 after a really pretty eventful first half. We saw two punt return touchdowns wiped out by, frankly, silly penalties.
Right.
We saw another little in the same formations, the punt formations and so forth, where teams just having a hard time, you know, figuring out what to do and then get off those punt plays without a penalty. But fights, a little bit of fighting, a little bit of the rough stuff, the nastiness, and the officials thinking, you know, making a good decision here. They're going to march off the last, they're just going to run off the last 28 seconds, and that will do it. So, in the meantime, 25-14, the West on top of the East. At halftime, we'll have Jim Alsman from MarpleNewtownFootball.com here to chat. We will have, you know, some other fun to talk about. We have a Memorial Day tribute.
We have a little discussion from last year, actually, with Dave Trout, who feeds these kids the night before the game. That's got to be an adventure for all of us that teenagers. So we'll come back in a little bit.
All right, stick with us. We'll be back for halftime activities in the second half and a whole lot more. You're listening live to High School Football, the 37th Annual Hero Bowl, right here on HavenFootball.net.
The bank will be closing soon, Chris.
I'm just making a deposit.
The bank is now closed.
Well, I need to make payroll tomorrow.
Please stop back during normal business hours.
I can't. I run a business during normal business hours.
We'll see you then.
It's time to bank human again. At TD Bank, we know what you need to run a business. That's why we're open late and weekends, too. TD Bank, America's most convenient bank.
Member FDIC.
The world of internet sports broadcasting is rapidly expanding into the amateur ranks. Schools, high school and college, as well as minor league sports clubs, are finding out about the hottest new streamer on the planet, EasyStream.com. In just minutes, your crew can have its sporting events live and on the internet. For more information, call 800-866-7510 or log on to EasyStream.com. EasyStream, streaming made easy.
In the Outback, we've got a real taste for adventure. So drop in today to explore our new Steak Flights menu. For a limited time, enjoy two or three cuts of our juicy signature sirloin served on a crispy potato, each topped with a chef-crafted sauce of your choice, like creamy Diablo or wild mushroom. Plus a side starting just $10.99. That's up to two or three delicious tastes, all on one plate. So enjoy your flight, mate, but don't miss it. It's always fresh in the Outback.
This year's high school football season is just around the corner, and HavenFootball.net is the place to be for all the Panther football action. You'll be able to check scores around the Central League as well as key teams throughout Pennsylvania in the PIAA system. HavenFootball.net for great game statistics and articles. If you're into Haven football or simply high school football, there's no better place to be than HavenFootball.net.
Ralph Lawler, the L.A. Clippers here. Keep listening to high school football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to Winder University, where it's the West leading 25-14 over the East. It's been a rather eventful first half. We are obviously at halftime. We, as we do every year, this time we do a little bit on a Memorial Day tribute. It's a few minutes long, so we're going to play that for you now, and then we'll come back and talk to Jim Alsman from Marple Newtown. So stay tuned. What we consider to be Memorial Day weekend
started out as much more than a three-day weekend for barbecues, pool openings, and holidays at the shore. It began as an attempt to honor those killed in battle shortly after the Civil War. General John Logan got the idea for a National Day of Remembrance when he was the principal speaker at a citywide memorial observation in Illinois. On May 5, 1868, as leader of the Grand Army of the Republic, a veterans organization, he proclaimed May 30th to be Decoration Day. That day was chosen specifically as it was not an anniversary of a battle. People were encouraged to decorate the graves of Union soldiers with flowers to commemorate their sacrifice. The alternate name of Memorial Day was first used in 1882, but did not become more common until after World War II, and was not declared the official name by federal law until 1967. Since the founding of our country, many, many millions have served, and tens of thousands have given the ultimate sacrifice defending our freedoms and our way of life. During Memorial Day services all over the country this past weekend, the tradition was to conclude those services with the playing of Taps, a song played when burying a current or former soldier. We at HavenFootball.net wish to honor all our veterans for their service and sacrifice on this 2008 Memorial Day week.
Enjoy two or three cuts of our juicy signature sirloin served on a crispy potato, each topped with a chef-crafted sauce of your choice, like creamy Diablo or wild mushroom. Plus a side starting just $10.99. That's up to two or three delicious tastes, all on one plate. So enjoy your flight, mate, but don't miss it. It's always fresh in the Outback.
This is John Linder, Mayor of Chester, reminding you you're listening to High School Football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to Leslie Quick Stadium on the campus of Widener University. The 37th Annual Hero Bowl, brought to you by HavenFootball.net. Brian Carroll bringing you play-by-play. And it's been an entertaining first half. Back and forth they went. The team moving left to right seemed to be the team putting the points on the board for the most part. 25-14, the West on top of the East at halftime. And a lot of the rough stuff in between in terms of the extracurriculars post-play and even during the play, particularly during punt coverage, that has unfortunately wiped out two beautiful punt returns for touchdowns. And we had momentarily a chance to get excited here on the play-by-play. And also the PA announcer for tonight's game, Jim Alsman, is joining us. Jim Alsman is one of the guys who makes things go over at MarpleNewtownFootball.com. So, Jim, glad to have you again.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate being on HavenFootball.net once again. And this has been a real crazy game. I mean, I'm handling the spotting duties for the PA announcer and doing some stats, and it's been almost at times impossible to keep statistics on. You know, Matt Smith from the Delco Times, I should say that he's tweeting out that officials warn that any extra curricular activity in the second half, that the officials have already warned both teams that they will walk out and that will be it. So I say that because this first half has been, you know, I'm going to try to put it as nicely as I can. It's been a mess.
Yeah, and in that way, disappointing because, again, we were talking, you know, during one of the moments where they're trying to sort out, you know, a penalty and so forth. How do you, it's such a fine line to walk knowing that these kids, it's an emotional game for a lot of them, even on a normal day, but here they are playing their last game for many of them. They're saying, we're going to play hard, we're going to play to win, we're going to play against people we know from our neighborhoods, some rivalries. You know, we mentioned there was one play where You know, Nick Rentos of Interboro was sacked by a Ridley linebacker. And there was no Ridley Interboro Thanksgiving game this year. So this is their shot to actually have that. And so there's this fine line of competitive play with an edge, play hard, play to win. But, you know, when it's 90 degrees and it's sticky and you don't have maybe the kind of discipline on one night that you would have during a regular season game, this is what can happen. It's a little ugly.
Yeah, there's a lot of good play going out on the field, and folks that are listening from home, you are missing out not being here. That's definite, because this crowd is entertained. There's no doubt about it. But the referee crew they didn't bring their A game like the kids did. Very quickly, you need to take control of a game like this, whether that's flags, whether that's sideline warnings. You have two very volatile coaching staffs. I think the three of us have seen enough of the different folks comprised on these sidelines. They're very passionate as well. But they, no control. And, you know, games like this need total control, because you have the fiercest athletes, the fiercest football players in Delaware County facing off.
And that's Mike Mayer had mentioned that at one point as well, or, you know, just from the competitive standpoint, it should be a coach's dream to say, look at there is no weak link on this field. This is basically an all-star team, the best of the seniors for the most part. There are some exceptions, some players who are headed off to and maybe have even already departed for college plans, you know, a couple of Division I athletes. You know, Matt Gallenbos from the Haverford School, first team All-Delco, comes to mind. You know, he's not playing tonight. He was one of the best players in the county this year. But that's one example of just a few, because, again, there is a ton of talent on this field. And, Jim, you know, we try to make a point during the game to mention every player in some way or another. Sometimes that's in the course of game action, but we were kind of saving the Marple Newtown guys for you. So, you know, Craig Hamilton is injured tonight, is not on the field, but he'd be wearing number 82 otherwise. But he's joined by Ed Graham on the offensive line, Corey Power, who's played offensive line as well and actually had a nice recovery on a kickoff.
Yep.
And Joe Vegso as well, who's actually headed to Gettysburg to play football in the fall. So
yeah, real nice players, all really nice kids. I can tell you that Coach Junta will miss them terribly, especially them being in this game, so you know what their level of play is. Especially Corey Power. He was the team MVP. He will undoubtedly be a varsity player at the University of Pennsylvania, where I know that he'll really outshine in the school, in the classroom, than he probably will on the football field. And I'm not taking anything away from his football talents, but he is a very bright young man.
And again, Marple Newtown kind of up and down this year, but really the latter part of the season got it together after really, I think it was started 1-4 but finished 5-6, so really started to get things together. It started to gel for them from about that mid-season point forward.
Yeah, and you know, I have to tell you, my crew over at MarpleNewtownFootball.com, we often talk about the Academy Park game where we went up on them very early on, 14-0. We had fumbled, or recovered a fumble, took it in for a touchdown, we'd scored again. And then, you know, we know all about Academy Park and the talented group they have. Their running back, their quarterback, they sort of took over their home turf and really became a track meet. And I honestly think, you know, that game sort of set a tone. I think our team learned very quickly, you can't just go up on a team early in the game and expect that the scoreboard is going to reflect positively on your side at the end of the game. You got to go all four quarters, and they did struggle doing that in some key games this year.
So again, it's always we say all of these things, keeping in mind that these are 15, 16, 17 year old kids during the regular season, and then even now tonight for an all-star game, you know, the 17, 18 year olds really a couple weeks away from graduation and so forth. You know, just looking ahead for Garnet Valley. I just saw a T-shirt and I read it. Sorry. For Marple Newtown. You know, looking ahead to next year, you know, you mentioned that these seniors will be missed. You know, as far as the other guys coming up, how's that looking for experience?
You know, it'll be interesting to see. I honestly think that this year's freshman class, who are going to be sophomores, will get a lot of playing time. So I think 2-3 years from now is going to be very interesting. This year going in, it'll be a little bit more rebuilding. So it'll be really, really special, I think, after this season what's in store. Then again, the first two games of the year, we host Academy Park. We host a team called Strathaven.
Yeah.
And that's going to tell a lot about what Marple Newtown is made of.
And we'll see what everybody's made of starting really mid-August. It's hard to believe that that's only about 10 weeks away. But
99 days, I was telling Mike.
99 days, good. So here we go with a lot of excitement, really, to get going. And this is always for us. Just a quick football fix on one night goes for a great cause, and so forth. And Jim, you've been here with us for the last several years, just off and on, and now staying extra busy with the stats and so forth. So again, we appreciate so much of what you do during the regular season. So again, everybody who's listening, if you haven't done so already, www.MarpleNewtownFootball.com is just a fantastic website, and Jim and a lot of people over there have really done a lot with it, and the kids benefit from it greatly. That's the fun part for us, to see some current and former players just enjoy it during the season, but then even after the fact.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you guys again. I appreciate it.
All right. We will be back shortly with after a few words from some of our sponsors. We'll be talking or maybe hearing from a past interview, and I want to also say maybe we can drum up a former Hero Bowl MVP who's sitting down here not too far in front of us. We'll catch up with him shortly. All right, let's see what we can do when you come back. Second half action on the way from the Hero Bowl here at Widener University on HavenFootball.net.
In Australia, we always have a fresh take on life, and everyone's invited to the barbie. And at Outback Steakhouse, that same fresh spirit inspires everything we do, like our extra-large snow crab legs, freshly steamed, sweet, succulent, and bursting with crab meat, served with our tender signature sirloin set to perfection just the way you like it. All for a way down under price of only $13.95. Once you've tasted fresh, mate, you'll never settle for anything less. It's always fresh in the Outback.
Outback Steakhouse in Springfield is a proud sponsor of the Hero Bowl. Eat in or take out, 610-544-9889. Make it Outback tonight.
Hi, my daughter has some coins. She'd like to turn them into cash.
Did you say cash advance?
Oh, no, coin counting.
I want to buy a dollhouse.
Congratulations. Would you like to hear about our mortgages?
No, she's 7.
Oh, sorry. We do not offer 7-year mortgages at this time.
No, coin counting.
It's time to bank human again. That's why at TD Bank, you can talk to a real person anytime. And yes, we have free customer coin counting. TD Bank, America's most convenient bank.
Member FDIC.
The world of internet sports broadcasting is rapidly expanding into the amateur ranks. Schools, high school and college, as well as minor league sports clubs, are finding out about the hottest new streamer on the planet, EasyStream.com. In just minutes, your crew can have its sporting events live and on the internet. For more information, call 800-866-7510 or log on to EZStream.com. EZStream, streaming made easy.
Ralph Lawler of the L.A. Clippers here. Keep listening to high school football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to the 37th Annual Hero Bowl here in Delaware County. Brian Carroll bringing you play-by-play. We thank Jim Alsman for joining us at halftime, and Mike Mayer as well, doing all the sound and the engineering and really everything that is HavenFootball.net. But we spotted somebody sitting in the stands in front of us here, and we're happy to bring on somebody who knows a little bit about Strathaven football, a little bit about the Hero Bowl, and a little bit about playing college football, and now as a graduate assistant right at Wesley College down in Delaware. There are 6 players from tonight's game that are headed down to Wesley next fall, and they will probably be doing a little bit of learning from the 2007 Hero Bowl MVP. That is Aaron Benson, former Strathaven player who we got the pleasure of calling a number of games during his senior year. So, Aaron, good to see you.
Good to see you.
All right. So tell us about what you've been doing. I mean, you left Strathaven, went down to Wesley, and had a really nice playing career there. And, Wesley, they've been a powerhouse in Division III.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great program. I was glad I had the opportunity to go down there and play because I actually wanted to go Division II first. That was my thing. And then Coach Strass came by and gave me a chance, And he told me a little bit about the program. And he actually played with my father at Pancras back in the day.
Okay.
So went down there, had a great career, and now I'm coaching. I'm a grad assistant up there. We got a couple guys in here, and I'm out here to see them.
All right. Very good. So you played defensive. You played now for Strathaven. You were playing some running back, some quarterback, defensive strong safety, defensive back, and so forth. You ended up playing defensive back down there,
right? Yeah, strong safety.
Yeah, okay. And ended up being co-captain there for a little
bit? Yeah, I was a captain junior and senior year, and All-American, All-Conference player.
All right.
A lot of things.
Yep. So, again, we could see we all saw that coming, right? Mike, we said, man, this Aaron is going to be something else wherever he ends up playing. But no, really, I mean, that was a pleasure to watch you your senior year as HavenFootball.net was getting started. And, of course, we had been watching you even prior to that. But, you know, for anybody listening who, you know, has the idea of playing college football, what was one of the things that you noticed? What is one of the biggest difference of transitioning from high school into the college to any college program?
I think the biggest thing is you just got to love the game, because if you don't love it, some guys may feel like it's a job and there's a lot of pressure. You got a long day in camp. Football camp, you go there as a freshman, there's a long day, two practices sometimes, and you're in all meetings all day. So a lot of people don't know that they don't really love the game. And you just got to know that and stand behind it and not give up, really.
And that's, again, for thinking back then as you transitioned, you know, from, let's call it, the last couple weeks of your senior year in high school, knowing you were going to get a chance at least to play some college football. But you also had a chance to play in this game here. And there's a lot of guys that, yes, will go on to play. And, again, six guys for tonight's game headed down to Wesley. There's a pretty good pipeline now from Delaware County to Wesley. But for some other guys, this is maybe the last time they'll ever put on the pads. What are some of the things you remember about the Hero Bowl in particular in a game that you ended up as the defensive MVP that night?
I just remember there were a lot of great players, actually. I love the atmosphere. This is a great field to play on here at Widener. And most of all, it was just the opportunity to play with those guys for the last time. A couple guys came down to Wesley, actually, that I played with in this game. But it was just the opportunity to play with these guys one more time. And, you know, we had competed against each other. And now we could be on the same team and compete against somebody else. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, we've spent part of the first half sort of explaining, boy, there's this fine line to walk where everybody's out there playing hard and you're trying to dial it up and, you know, you be aggressive and so forth, but then it's also 90 degrees and sticky and there's neighborhood rivalries and you've got a little bit of the rough stuff going on.
See a little
on,
UFC so. Action up.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we're hoping for a cleaner second half from that standpoint, but from just the game action competitive standpoint, yeah, these two teams, really, there's a lot of talent out there and have matched up pretty well so far.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. And I think it's tough because you're a player, you want to win, and you want to beat the next guy, but it's also hard to humble yourself and realize what you're playing for. You know, you're playing for the guys out there, the firefighters and the police officers and things like that. But you don't really think about that between the whistle.
No, that's right, right. So not when, and again, tonight in particular, we're talking about the punt coverage. It's the gunners that are getting themselves in trouble on the edges covering punts here. But hopefully that'll be cleaned up here in the second half and we can enjoy it and have a good 24 minutes of action. But in the meantime, we want to thank you for your couple minutes, Aaron. It was a pleasure to watch you as a player. We're so proud of you as you know, Strathaven graduate and so forth. But you know, good luck at Wesley. You had a great career there, and I hope it continues now on the coaching level.
All right, thank you, and I appreciate it.
All
One
right.
thing I do have to say is yep. Go Wesley football.
There you go. There you go. A plug for Wesley. And again, if you get a chance to ever get down to that campus in Dover, my in-laws live down there, so I'm by quite a bit. But again, from that standpoint, get down to a good Division III football game, and Wesley just down the road. It's a good place to be. Thanks again to Aaron Benson, and we will catch up for the second half of the 37th Hero Bowl when we come back right here on HavenFootball.net.
The bank will be closing soon, Chris.
I'm just making a deposit.
The bank is now closed.
Well, I need to make payroll tomorrow.
Please stop back during normal business hours.
I can't. I run a business during normal business hours.
We'll see you then.
It's time to bank human again. At TD Bank, we know what you need to run a business. That's why we're open late and weekends, too. TD Bank, America's most convenient bank.
Member FDIC. Welcome back to the second half of tonight's 37th annual Hero Bowl.
Tonight's game is sponsored by TD Bank,
America's most convenient bank, with convenient branches all over Delaware County. Outback Steakhouse in Springfield. Steak, chicken, and shrimp done the Outback way. Eat in or take out. EasyStream.com. Broadcasting your high school sporting events over the internet couldn't be easier with EasyStream. Let's get back to the second half action with the regular season internet voices of the Strathaven Panthers, Brian Carroll and Mike Mayer.
Welcome back to Wider. Second half action underway. High end of room kickoff by Matt Rushton. It's fielded and taken down at the 15-yard line. Gang tackle, Eric Korn, Joe Vegso leading the way for the West. Taking down the return man, that's number 23, Caleb Favino of Delco Christian. Thanks again to our halftime guest, Jim Alsman of MarpleNewtownFootball.com. Aaron Benson on the coaching staff at Wesley. The Mike Bayer has just pointed out the temperature now at
a chilly 84.
84 degrees at 9:15 at night.
I got to get my coat. Wait a minute.
So, in the meantime, the West now will take over first and 10 at their own 15-yard line, trailing 25-14 as we start this second half. We mentioned earlier six players from tonight's game headed down to Wesley College, two of them from Upper Darby. And so Jaquil Wilson and Big Avery Wright at 6'3", 310, headed down to Dover, and those are the two Upper Darby representatives tonight. So good luck to them tonight, and good luck the rest of the way at Wesley next year. So first down, give inside is to Nicholson. Darnell Nicholson of Chester takes it out to the 19-yard line, gain of 4 on first down. Second and 6 upcoming here for the East as they move right to left here to start this second half. So not much of a rushing game for the East in that first half. They tried a handful of different ball carriers and really not much success for many of them, all of them in single-digit yardage totals. But in the meantime, started to get things going there in the second quarter. Here, they break the huddle with three wide receivers. Two to the right, Tyler Street is your quarterback. He's in the shotgun with Nicholson on his left hip. They give it to Nicholson off the right side. Tries to get past big Mike Staples, and he goes nowhere. Staples, along with number 33, that's the linebacker from Episcopal Academy, Teddy Ibargan. No gain on the play.
Well, I tell you, the West defensive line is really hanging tough. They're not giving the East anything, and the East just cannot make the holes.
Third and long again, and the passing game for the East started to rev up a little bit. Street, Rentos, and Bello, you know, all ended up completing a couple of passes in that first half, and Street, especially right at the tail end of the first half, you know, got things going there and started a drive there late. But now he's faced with third and 5 at his own 20-yard line. Own 19, and then flags first. Looks like, everybody's pointing fingers here. It was definitely encroachment, but what did somebody flinch first on the offensive line is the question.
Doesn't look like it.
The referees will call encroachment. 5-yard penalty is going to bring up third down and inches. Third and less than a yard now, and now you have to think, as Favino checks out, Nicholson checks back in, maybe you go to a different call here, different look. Maybe you run it. Maybe you sneak with Street here. Street was really an effective runner here for Academy Park this year as well.
I would look for an end sweep. I think there's some room, try to put him out and at least move the line backwards a little bit so you can get that yard you need for the first down. We'll see what he does here. Looks like a pass, though. We'll see.
Third and inches. Street rolling to his right. Run pass option. Fires incomplete into the turf a few yards shy of Teron Dunbar of Cardinal O'Hara. And incomplete it falls. So now it's fourth and inches. And question time. Would you go for it inside your own 25 trailing by 11? Cristaldi's coming on. So the punt team is getting on the field. No, Street comes back to the huddle. Cristaldi to the sideline, and they're trying to catch the West here. The West has the punt team on the field here. They're going to need to call timeout or change it up. Trusty's going to come out from 50 yards downfield. He's going to have to play free safety here. Fourth and inches from their own 24. Under center is Street's going to keep it himself. Dives to the left guard, and I don't know.
I don't know. He got it either.
I don't know. It's going to be awfully close.
I think he stutter stepped just a little too much. He was kind of waiting for his line to make some kind of penetration, which never really happened. Had it in momentarily, and it fell back on him.
Corey Power, Jaquil Wilson, and others really stood up well, but they give them the nose of the football to the 25. That's all they needed. First down for the East. Nice job there by Street on the left side of that line.
Boy, that would have been a disaster if they hadn't made that first down, though.
Including 64, Tyler Danella of Cardinal O'Hara in there. His Cardinal O'Hara teammate, Carmen Cervella, headed to Pace University. He's at left tackle at the moment. In at center is 55, Ryan France out of Sun Valley. Wing to the right. I formation behind Street on first and 10. Play fake. Back to pass. Looking. He wants it all. Deep down the far sideline. Has a man out there. Flags on the play. And incomplete. Ryan Corkery in coverage. Trying to stay with Earl Hargrove. Looks like defensive pass interference way down at the 35-yard line. And I think this is going to be a 15-yard interference penalty. Yep. Indeed it is. So Corkery, a quarterback for Garnet Valley. A defensive back tonight. Again, a guy who's not had nearly the kind of game experience that that others have had, but he's hanging in there. Again, all these corners tonight in single man-to-man coverage all day long on a hot night, they are probably in one of the least desirable positions on the field tonight.
And in high school football, you know, the penalty is 15 yards, so if you're 35, 40 yards down the field, if you think he's going to catch it, yeah, take the penalty.
So the East moves it out to the 40-yard line now. First and 10 at their own 40. I formation behind Street gives the fullback that time. He is stood up immediately. Griffin from Sun Valley got to the line of scrimmage and nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. Dougherty, both Doherty's, Shane and Mike, in on the stop there. No gain on the play there for Griffin, who's carried it twice for negative yardage. Second down, upcoming. The East trailing 25-14, 8:22 and counting to play here in the third quarter. Teron Dunbar out of O'Hara, slot to the right. Earl Hargrove, split to the right. I formation, tight end to the left. Play fake again. Street wants it all again. Same play. Deep. Hargrove out there at the 30. He's got it incomplete.
God.
Ball slightly underthrown. Hargrove came back for it, but not
off
quite
his fingertips.
Enough.
Off his fingertips.
Did not slow down or reach back quite far enough, did he?
Yeah, if he had taken a tenth of a step off that run, it would have fallen right into his lap.
6'2", 185-pounder out of Academy Park, and Jim Alsman mentioned it at halftime. It just turns into a track meet with Academy Park last year. With Jerry Lanier, just a junior, coming back, that is going to be somebody fun to watch. But Street, who can throw it deep, Hargrove on the edges, they did have a ton of speed. And Coach Jason Fischewski has really put a solid program in place. And I don't use that term lightly anymore. That Academy Park team truly is becoming a program. Street, under center. In the shotgun, incomplete on third and 10, intended for Griffin in the left flat. And it brings up fourth down, and here's Cristaldi on to punt. So one of the more interesting parts of the punt game tonight is to see if everybody can stay out of the doghouse in terms of the unnecessary roughness. So yeah, Cristaldi awaits the punt snap at his 30, but we'll watch the edges.
And the air is absolutely still. I mean, like, deathly still.
So Cristaldi takes the punt snap, steps into it at the 30-yard line, off the side of his foot, high spiraling kick. Kevin Trusty steps under it and makes the fair catch at the 38-yard line. Kevin Trusty, one of the leading receivers for Pencrest and in Delaware County last year. Trusty with 48 catches. In fact, that was the most receptions of anybody in the county. 750 yards put him second, but seven receiving touchdowns, a 15.6 average, and you know, three wins for Pencrest this year, and one of them in a last-second field goal against Strathaven, and the Panthers had no answers for number 14. He tonight is joined by P.J. Quinn and Dan Cosgrove, teammates for the Lions. On first and 10 from the 38, they fire to the right flat, incomplete. Kevin Sherry, the big tight end from Strathaven, headed to Dickinson in the fall, was the intended receiver. Off the arm of Moriarty.
Yeah, that's an unusual experience for him altogether. Strathaven teams don't like to pass too much. And certainly not to an end.
Right. But Sherry, you know, had a handful of catches, yep, and the majority of them ended up in the end zone, actually, this year. So He ended up leading the Panthers in receiving touchdowns, and one of his teammates is sitting right down in front of us. John Fender had a good senior year for the Panthers. Keith Descendis from 2 years ago. A couple of former Panthers now sitting here watching tonight's action. Eddie Durkin back in the game at quarterback. Second down and 10. Durkin takes a high snap, keeps it himself, looking for running room, steps across the 45, 46, brings up third down and 3. So nice footwork from the senior quarterback, first team All-Delco. He has 2 rushing touchdowns to his credit tonight.
He does that so nicely. It's such a nice fake.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a talented, talented athlete. And again, we can't say it enough how much fun he was to watch.
Well,
and you just wish he had been staying on the field a little bit more.
Yeah.
But another, Mike says, well.
Not when he's playing against you.
Get back to that in a moment. Third and 2. Moriarty in the game. Fires to the outside, complete. First down across the 50. And stepping out of bounds is Juwan Valentine at the 44. Valentine picks up 9 and a first down. Nicely done right there. His second catch of the evening off the arm of, and Moriarty's found him twice, all 3 times now. Or seven, second, 2 times. Second to that catch of the evening. Yeah, it's a little rusty, folks. Yeah, it's a warm up for me here. First and 10. From the 44 yard line, jet sweep to Cam Dorham. Dorham. Looking for room off that left side, 40, 35, finds it, cuts back, 30, dances across, looking for a block, caught from behind at the 25 and down at the 24. Cameron Dorham, all-purpose player from Springfield, running back, receiver, slot back tonight, and played a lot of quarterback this year, too. And boy, had a nice little room, sideline to sideline there. And there's an injured player on the field, but we'll keep an eye on that. But Dorham rips off a 20-yard run on his first toe of the night. They've looked for him in the pass game a couple of times, just have not been able to connect. But the rushing attack for the West has really piled up the yardage as we're keeping an eye on this injured player for the East, laying flat on his back here at the 25-yard line. Speaking of which, another injury or so it seems. Number 50, Matt Sinex from Ridley, is coming off the field, moving very slowly. Not going to speculate as to what the nature of the injury is, but
like his haircut, though.
Yeah, Sinex sporting a mohawk here tonight. Keeping him cool, I guess. But, you know, just mentioning, we try, like I said earlier, we try to mention as many players or really all the players at some point in the game. Springfield's Cameron Dorham did a little bit of everything for the Cougars. He finished 7-4 this year. Another first-round playoff exit. But, again, they have put together a couple good years in a row. He's joined tonight by right tackle, Mike Gade, big 78. Mike Dougherty, we've mentioned several times, making tackles at linebacker. Dan Smith, a defensive back who had a really fine senior year. And Rob Murphy, who's at the moment the leading rusher for the West tonight and also had a punt return called back on a penalty. Episcopal Academy has Matt Rushton, Matt McLaughlin, and Teddy Ibargan. Matt McLaughlin, unfortunately, injured and watching from the sideline tonight, but Teddy Ibargan has been pretty busy. Also from Harrington, all 4 of those guys have been called tonight. Eric Korn recovered a kickoff earlier, really what turned out to be sort of an onside kick. Pat Moriarty, Kenny Brown, and Juwan Valentine, 3 of the guys that just ran roughshod over much of the Central League this year, and particularly in that last game against Strathaven, that absolute shootout. But
number 40
helped to the sideline, unfortunately, right now, is Nick Morricone from Cardinal O'Hara.
He's doing okay. I think he just got shook up a little bit.
Teron Dunbar, Joe DeMeo, Tyler Danilo, Carmen Cervella, and Nick Morricone, who's being helped to the sideline by one of his O'Hara teammates, actually, Cervella. But those are the 5 Lions from Dan Algio's crew playing in tonight's game. All right, ready to rock and roll again with 6:17 to play here in the third quarter. 25-14, West over the East, and West now moving left to right, has first and 10 at the East 24. Moriarty in the gun, takes a low snap, finds Kevin Sherry, complete inside the 20, down to the 17-yard line. And a few cheers here from the Strathaven faithful as Kevin Sherry makes his first grab of the evening. Gain of about 7 on the play. And Sherry headed to Dickinson in the fall. I'm not sure. I didn't get to ask him where he plans on playing, whether it'll be at outside linebacker, defensive end, or
they may not know
looking
yet.
Looking at a tight end.
Yep.
Hard to say. Three receivers to the left, one to the right on second down and three. Eddie Durkin back in the game. Darren Washington from Ridley stands alongside of him. Durkin, back to pass, pump fake, going to keep it himself. Straight up the middle, across the 20, and takes a good hit at the 12, or let's call it the 13, maybe. But, incidentally, enough for a first down. Six more yards from Durkin, and, you know, he can move the chains. And, you know, Mike, you flinched or cringed at it earlier about, you know, how much you really want to see Durkin if you're on the opposing sideline. We had the pleasure, even though ones that did not turn out well for Strathaven, of watching some remarkably exciting game.
Oh, this year.
And the Haverford game back and forth in the final minute, and Durkin to Kevin Lydon with 14 seconds left didn't end well for the Panthers. But here, low snap, picked up, and it's Tevin Howie up the middle. He spins across the 10, inside the 5, down to the 3. Nice work by Moriarty to pick up the snap off his shoe tops and hand it to Howie, who has himself a first down gain of a bunch. Let's see where they spot this. 12 more for Tevin Howie. And first and goal to go now for the West.
Yeah,
Howie, 29 yards on just four carries.
You want to watch some exciting Strathaven plays, we have a play of the game feature on havenfootball.net. And, of course, Howie's involved in a lot of them. But there were some thrilling finishes, and we got it all on that play of the game. And it's game by game. Each of the play of the game is about 3 minutes long, so you can see the whole season in less than half an hour.
Pistol formation, two fullbacks. It's Howie, student body right, and they stretch it out beautifully and drop him for a huge loss. Number 5 into the backfield, making the stop. That's your smallest guy on the field, Rich Ringgold. 5'2", 220-pounder, takes down Howie back at the 7-yard line. A play call, or a play, not the call necessarily, but the execution for the West, just not there.
No, I was going to say it was a jailbreak. Yep. I mean, yeah, Howie got the ball. Look, there were three guys in front of him.
So just as well as the West has blocked in the running game all night, not so much on that play. So they'll try it again, second down and goal now from back at the 8-yard line. Back in the game is Moriarty. Washington alongside of him, two receivers to either side. Motion man is Morgan. Play fake, no, they give it to Morgan. Jet sweep to the left. Chris Morgan for the edge, diving for the pylon, and is in for the touchdown.
Wow.
Chris
Great
Morgan
effort.
From 8 yards out, just turned on the speed, and has himself his first touchdown of the night. Well done, well blocked. He was not touched, and Darren Washington from Ridley, the running back, actually did a nice job running interference there.
Yeah, and they East tried to close him down, but they were about the 1-yard line, tried to pinch in on him, but it just was too little too late.
Morgan's second carry of the night, this one from 8 yards out, puts him in the end zone, and they will go for two here. Kevin Sherry in the game at tight end. Darren Washington is the tailback, and again, same formation here. Tight ends to either side. Pistol formation with Durkin. Darren Washington behind him. They play fake this time. Durkin steps up, fires complete into the end zone. Shane Dougherty with the catch. He was one of the upbacks that time, and he makes the catch for a 2-point conversion. And it's the West now on top, 33-14 over the East. So we will take a short timeout. See when we come back what the East can do with it. 33-14, the West in control, but stranger things have happened here at the Hero Bowl.
The bank will be closing soon, Chris.
I'm just making a deposit.
The bank is now closed.
Well, I need to make payroll tomorrow.
Please stop back during normal business hours.
I can't. I run a business during normal business hours.
We'll see you then.
It's time to bank human again. At TD Bank, we know what you need to run a business. That's why we're open late and weekends, too. TD Bank, America's most convenient bank.
Member FDIC.
This is Keith Jackson reminding you you're listening to High School Football right here on havenfootball.net.
Welcome back to Widener University. Havenfootball.net's coverage of the 37th Annual Hero Bowl. And the West on top, 33-14. Line drive kick from Rushton is going to take a hop right into the arms of Favino, 2 yards deep in the end zone. Now turns upfield at the 10, 15, and Dougherty again with a great angle and yet another special teams tackle. That one you couldn't quite hear
yeah,
through the
good
field,
good
mic, but man, another good clean hit from Dougherty, and he has been another guy, just fun to watch. Just your typical, if they're, well, for those who haven't seen Ridley play, it just seems year after year there's a sort of prototypical, tough Ridley linebacker or two or three. That just, you know, they come after you, they're aggressive, they're mean, they're tough, and they just, you know, turn
and
out
and they're
good
always quick. Always quick.
Good football players over there. And again, Central League champs this year, the Green Raiders, back on top of the Central League as they've been so many times before, and Shane Dougherty a huge part of that. So the East will start at their 16-yard line, trailing by a bunch. Sal Bello in it, quarterback's gonna keep it himself after the fake, and look at that. We mentioned the Ridley linebackers, and there's another one. That's Tyler Harris again. Harris has been in on several tackles, wearing number 41 tonight. We mentioned the rest of the Ridley players: Darren Washington, Mike Smolik, Mike Crowley, Rich Coya, Tyler Harris, Shane Dougherty, Matt Sinex, and Steve Plausis. Many of them going on to play football next year. Matt Sinex is going to Kutztown. Shane Dougherty is going to Kutztown. And again, really, you know, the All Central League and the All Delco Times All Delco team was just littered with Green Raiders this year, and rightfully so. Second down, back to passes. Bello firing to the outside. It is complete. This is Rashawn Fentress with his second catch of the night. Ridden out of bounds at the 22. It'll bring up third down and about five.
Well, the East really needs to sustain a drive now. You know, the West drive not only scored and got some points, and then pretty much put this game, you know, kind of out of reach at this stage of the game, but also ate a lot of time off the clock, less than 2:20 left on the clock now. And, you know, the East really has to get something going here.
Four wide receivers, two to either side. Sal Bello is in the shotgun. Four-man rush, back to pass, looking. He's got single coverage, a man out there. It's Fentress at midfield and could not haul it in. Pass was right on the mark. Joe Vegso in coverage, but Fentress had a step, had the ball, and would like that one back.
Oh, right through his arms. Now, in his defense, it was over his shoulder, fell in front of him. Not an easy ball to catch, but it couldn't have been placed any better than it was.
Beautiful throw there from Bello, who's headed to Ursinus in the fall, and Fentress headed to Shippensburg, and there's been a nice little pipeline to Shippensburg, a good Division II school recently.
Yep.
Just thinking about, you know, Pyle, the running back from Garnet Valley, who is Justin Pyle, was Delco Player of the Year a year ago. He just finished his freshman year. John McCullough, all Delco from Strathaven, offensive lineman. He's out there and still playing well. So
tells you what it takes to get into a Division I school, doesn't it?
Yep. High, spiraling kick, terrific kick this time. Off the hands of Murphy, and the ball's loose. Scramble for it, and the East is on it. Tremendous punt that time by Mike Cristaldi. Murphy ended up backpedaling, couldn't handle it. And in on the recovery was number 10, Breon Chambers. Nicely done there, good coverage. Murphy was, again, speaking of wanting to have one back.
Well, he was trying, you know, when he started backpedaling, he started losing his footing, tried to make the catch and fall at the same time. Not a good combination.
That's a 48-yard punt. And again, was just a terrific effort from Cristaldi with tremendous hang time, too.
Yep.
You know, it gave...
Oh, your coverage is right there.
Yeah, it gave Chambers a chance after the muff. And now, here's the East trying to take advantage of a West turnover again.
It's like a 50-yard pass.
Four wide, two to either side. Bello still in the game. Austin Q in at running back. Bello, under heavy pressure, steps away from it, running into the right side, turns the corner at the 30, inside the 30 to the 27. Nicely done. Gain of 7 for Sal Bello. And so here comes the East with 134, 133 and counting to play in the third.
Nice offensive blocking. They had some nice penetration, and the offensive line picked it up and just flattened it out.
West,
some running room.
West 33, East 14, but East on the move now. Also making contributions for the East tonight from Archbishop Carroll, and we mentioned Evan Harvey with a number of times with tackles at linebacker, but those are the two Patriots, Bello and Harvey, representing Archbishop Carroll tonight. Bello under center this time. Turns, gives it the tailback cue, and
nice
is wrapped
tackle
up by Dougherty again. Boy, Shane Dougherty maybe making a case for defensive player of the game for the West.
Shot right
he
through the gap.
Just been everywhere and unblocked, and that is not because they don't know where he is. It's just because he has been unblockable for the last couple of years at the high school level. It's really been a terrific player, 3-year starter for Ralph Batty's defense and head coach Dennis Decker down on Morton Avenue. 32, 31, 30 seconds to play here in the third quarter. A very promising drive for the East, just went backwards by a few yards. They're looking at 3rd and 7 now from the 31, probably 4-down territory though. Griffin into the game at halfback. Back to pass is Bellow. Looking. Heavy pressure. Oh. And down he goes. Down he goes. Combining for the sack, the Wesley recruit, Jaquill Wilson, along with 58 Pete Curlin, headed to Westchester, but representing Haverford the last couple of years. The clock has struck zero on the end of the third quarter, and the West defense, with consecutive plays for loss, has put the East in a hole here. 4th and long when we come back to start the fourth quarter. Stick with us. You're listening live to high school football right here on havenfootball.net.
This Hero Bowl broadcast is the exclusive property of the Hero Scholarship Fund and havenfootball.net and is produced for the private use of our listening audience. No rebroadcast in full or in part is permitted without the express written permission of the Hero Scholarship Fund and havenfootball.net. Your cooperation is appreciated. This year's high school football season is just around the corner, and havenfootball.net is the place to be for all the Panther football action. You'll be able to check scores around the Central League as well as key teams throughout Pennsylvania in the PIAA system. HavenFootball.net for great game statistics and articles. If you're into Haven football or simply high school football, there's no better place to be than HavenFootball.net.
This is Dan Baker, public address announcer for the Philadelphia Phillies and the Philadelphia Eagles, reminding you that you're listening to high school football right here on havenfootball.net.
4th and 11 from the 35. Bellow is back, firing down the seam. Fentress is out there, juggles an incomplete down near the 10. Oh, Bellow and Fentress have been oh so close a couple of times. And that would have set up first and goal, but Fentress could not haul it in. Not bad coverage there overall from Jordan Bennett.
If there were points for almost, the East would be doing pretty well.
Yep, and got some help from Aaron Morgan. But, awfully close. Awfully close for the East. But still, they trail 33-14 as we're underway in the fourth quarter now. Brian Carroll bringing you play-by-play, joined here by Mike Mayer. Thanks again to our halftime guest, Jim Alsman from MarpleNewtownFootball.com, and Aaron Benson, former All-Delco, former College All-American, Division III All-American at Wesley, and now an assistant, graduate assistant at Wesley. We're awfully proud of Aaron, and great to see him here tonight.
Yeah, we know everybody.
So, 1st and 10 from the 35, the West takes over. Moving right to left. Low snap, picked up by Moriarty. Broken play, but he'll fire it 50 yards downfield anyway. Incomplete. Moriarty on a busted play off his back foot, just tossed it 50 yards, but overshot Kevin Trusty by a couple.
Yeah, if he'd probably had a little more patience back there, he would have made that throw. There was really no pressure on him.
Yeah.
He really took a while to pick it up. Nobody
right.
in front of him, but he was expected to be an onslaught.
Yeah. I mean, it's somebody yells fire on the fumbled snap, but the line really, you're right, Mike, held up pretty well. So, Kevin Sherry checks into the game along with Tevin Howie. Eddie Durkin in at quarterback. Smolik split to the right. Trusty to the left. Darren Washington and Howie on either side of Durkin, 2nd down and 10. Give is to Darren Washington, and he is buried and back into the game. Good to see number 40 back on his feet and moving pretty well that time. Nick Morricone, defensive stop there. Morricone in at defensive end now, played some stand-up linebacker earlier. But a loss on the play, Washington goes backwards for 3. So, brings up 3rd and 13, and Moriarty now into the game. Receivers are split. Juwan Valentine to the left. Trusty to the right. On third down and long. Back is Moriarty firing to the left side. And it is complete to Valentine again. Well, the Harrington connection seems to be working just fine, as if they've been playing all winter. Valentine out to the 48-yard line. That's a gain of 16 and a West first down.
You know, there's a lot that said, a lot to be said for chemistry between receivers and quarterbacks. And sometimes I think they find it in the strangest places. And in a game like this, we have so few practices together. Just something clicks with you, I think, and you go, or maybe during the season you said, boy, would I like to have him as a receiver. Now he's got his chance.
Kevin Sherry in at tight end. Eddie Durkin back in at quarterback now. First and 10. Receivers are split. Darren Washington is the halfback. Power in at tight end. Give it to Washington off the left side. Cuts back across the 50. Takes to the east 48 before he's wrapped up by Dan Dickerson of Interborough. Dickerson had an interception back in the first quarter for the East in on that last stop. Speaking of Interborough, we've mentioned Nick Rentos in at quarterback. Austin Q has seen some time at running back. Rashawn Fentress has caught a couple, including a touchdown. Dan Dickerson, we mentioned. But also John Hurtado and Mike Cristaldi. So a good representation from head coach Steve Lennox's Bucks here. Good senior class, district championship. Hard to argue with that. Second down and long. Back. And now the give is to Trusty on a jet sweep off the right side, and he goes nowhere, and he's going to lose a bunch, actually. They tried to stretch it to the far side of the field on that jet sweep, but three or four white shirts over there, including big 70 Kari McLeod.
Yeah, the East just kept floating with it and filled in.
So the jet sweep for the West has been reasonably successful tonight, even to the tune of Chris Morgan's touchdown run.
Do they not permit reverses in this game?
I think you can do the reverse. Yeah,
because that would seem to be a natural. Yeah. The amount of instances we're seeing tonight, that might work well.
Loss of six on the play. Third and 12 now. Durkin in the game. Back. Looking to his left, darts to his right now, steps away from one, two men, and now is finally swarmed back near the original line of scrimmage and then driven backwards. So Durkin, forward progress gets him to the 49-yard line, so he made up some of that lost yardage, but with 8:40 and counting and fourth and nine upcoming, my guess is they maybe punt. No, look at this. Keep the kids on the field, huh?
Well, you know, it also allows the East a shot. Maybe it'll, you know.
That's right.
Make keep the game interesting.
So fourth and long. Three receivers to the right. Trips right. Slot to that side is Durham. Singled up to this near side. It is Smolik. Ball is snapped low again. Moriarty wants it all again. Deep down the sideline. Has a man out there. Incomplete. Oh, the fumbled snap may have thrown off the timing just a bit. Smolik was down there inside the 5-yard line. Couldn't quite reach it as the ball was thrown just a little out of his reach. So, troubles with the snaps here tonight with in the shotgun snap. But again, that's another sort of fundamental of the game. But if you're working with a center whose team didn't use much shotgun, that's a totally different experience with very little practice. So, Mike, to your point, fourth and long, they go for it, miss the opportunity, and now here's the East with a shot. Trailing 33-14, but still with 8:05 to play, but the ball near midfield, and let's see what they can do with it.
Well, I think that's the key, and I think to allow the East to have, you know, if they can stop us, fine, they'll get the ball to 50. If they can do something with it, fine. We'll make it more of a game for the last 8 minutes.
Nick Rentos into the game at quarterback. Three receivers to his right. He's in the shotgun, one to his left. Back to pass, looking to his right. Looking under pressure now, steps away from one man. No, he doesn't. Tyler Harris hangs on. Looked like he'd get away for a moment, but these Ridley linebackers, Koya, Harris, Dougherty, they've been around the ball all night.
And pretty sure tackling, too. I mean, I think the East was having a little trouble with tackling initially when this evening got started. But, boy, the West has not had that problem. They've been just sure hands all the way through.
Gain of just a yard for Nick Rentos. 7:30 and counting to play here in regulation. Second and nine upcoming. Nose the football on the midfield stripe as the East moves left to right. Hargrove split to the far side, left of the formation. Split to the near side, slot to either side as well. Back is Rentos, looking for Hargrove. Has him on a slant at the 35, 30-yard line, and is tackled there with one man to beat. Again, sure tackling. Nicely done, Mike Crowley. But Earl Hargrove down to the 28-yard line. Gain of 21. A beautiful throw and catch. Nicely done, Rentos to Hargrove. Gain of 21. Hargrove's second grab of the evening.
Well, the East is going to need this to be able to stop the West, and they need three scores. Three touchdowns. Not just three scores.
647, 646 and counting. The West trying to avenge last year's loss, perhaps. Rentos back to pass. Heavy pressure this time, and they've got him wrapped up. They've got him. Corey Power with help from Tyler Harris.
Another sack.
Back at the 30-yard line. Harris has been part of two sacks on the defensive side of the ball now. And they'll spot this just shy of the line of scrimmage. Loss of one on the play. Second down and 11. So the pass protection that time just did not hold up. Rich Coya, typically a linebacker, 5'7", 170-pounder. He's a defensive tackle now. Back. Rentos swarmed under. Speak of the devil. Coya's got him. Coya just mentioned it. I didn't call the play. I don't know what happened there, but he got it again. Sometimes with the smaller guys, certainly he's given up probably 100 pounds to the man in front of him, but the quickness. Just go get him, and Rich Coya did. Loss of seven on the play. Moves the football back to the 36-yard line. They need the, we'll call it the 18 for a first down. Four down territory most definitely now for the East. Four wide receivers, third and 18. Pistol formation. Draw. Give inside to Favino. Sheds a tackle, and he takes it to the 33-yard line. Pickup of about five. First wave of tacklers slowed him down just enough. Wasn't quite a clean tackle, but enough to get some help from the secondary.
Well, the West,
Teddy, a bargain on the stuff.
The West is, I don't say they're coasting, but they're kind of saying, all right, kind of keep running plays. That's all right. We're under 5 minutes now. You're down by three touchdowns. You know, just keep running this stuff. And, of course, they keep going to a huddle. I would be probably a little more urgency. But, you know, what I don't know is how tired these kids are, how tough this is. It's been a tough night to play football at 80 degrees weather, 85 degrees, 89 degrees.
Fourth and 15. Rentos is back. Looking deep down the sidelines. Got Dunbar out there who makes the catch, and he's out of bounds.
Oh,
out of bounds inside the 10-yard line. Little corner route there. Broke inside and then out, and Eric Korn trying to stay with him, but a nice delivery from Rentos.
Yep, yep,
and Dunbar almost had his third catch of the night, but could not get a toe inside that white chalk. So, West turned it over on downs near midfield. The East could not quite capitalize, and now turn it over on downs at the 33-yard line. 4:25 and counting. Well, not in counting, not till they snap it.
Yeah.
But Eddie Durkin's into the game.
The East really are going to have to try to force West into a three and out and get the ball and do whatever they can to score quickly. Then an onside kick, hopefully get the ball back, score again. It's a tough agenda for four and a half minutes left.
33-14, 10 men in the box for the East defense. Backs to either side. Back is Durkin, looking, scrambling away from one man. Speed now across the 35-40. 45, gets a block. Midfield, flag comes in late. I think we're going to get a block in the back here. Durkin run out of bounds finally at the East 48-yard line. Gain of 19, but I think this is coming back. I think they're going to get an illegal block near that midfield stripe or so. And with just over 4 minutes to play, the fans are starting to trickle out a little bit here. And
you know, it's a work night.
Yeah, we do have, look at that. We have work, school, all sorts of things going on. And here at almost 10 o'clock, it's
been on the air for 2 hours and 40 minutes. So
it's been fun.
Yep.
We always do have a longer broadcast during this game, just with the pregame and halftime activities
right.
And so forth. And it is.
And we've had a few injuries, but primarily the first half fights, which we are, you know, like to report that the second half has been very, very clean.
Yeah, the only penalties are in the course of the play and really nothing malicious at all. First and 7 after the penalty. Moriarty back, looking, wants it all, deep down the field, has a man out there, incomplete. Cam Dorham, double coverage that time at the 20-yard line. And slow to get up is Ringgold, and he'll make his way to the sideline. Good sign there. He's okay. Dickerson checks back in for the East defense. As the clock ticks now, inside of 3 minutes, just double-checking. You know, we had some Glenn Mills players here who've played well tonight. Alex Cheatham and Deion Cleveland have been here. There are a couple others on the roster who are not able to participate tonight. But, again, Glenn Mills, 4-5, again, after a really rough start this year. Jeff Owens had that thing rocking and rolling at the end of the year, as they often do. Just, they would have been a tough playoff out with maybe one more win. Durkin on second down, across the 35, 40, and he is popped. Popped at the 43-yard line by number 44, Deion Cleveland, speaking of Glenn Mills. Again, the Glenn Mills school, they won three of their last four. Their losses this year, Glenn Mills lost five games to teams with a combined record of 47-13. I mean, powerhouse teams. Teams that ended their season with one loss, two losses, three losses at most. So, again, very challenging schedule for the Bulls, especially in the early going, but really, you know, a high-character team to stick it out and win three of their last four. Darren Washington on 2nd-7 off the left side, across 45 out to the 48 as we tick inside of 3 minutes. Washington's second carry of the night. And, again, just I think we've mentioned pretty much everybody. Again, Academy Park, a great year this year. Finished 10-2. District 1 semifinalists, the Del Valle League champs, Tyler Street, Earl Hargrove, Lewis Morrison DeVito, Hakeem Whitaker, Dante Rideout, and Kari McLeod. I think we've mentioned all those guys tonight just with their fine play on the field. Radnor got a win in their last game of the season this year. Congratulations to Coach Ryan. Finished 1-9, but John King and Mike Staples have had good contributions tonight and to the program as a whole. If you remember, they went all of 2011 without a win, lost their first nine of 2012, and then finally got over the hump.
I thought they have a better team this past year, but we'll hopefully for next year.
Yep. It's still, again, building a program. Not an easy thing to do. And so, again, we've really, you know, had a lot of fun calling the game again tonight.
Last play, by the way, went for a couple of yards.
So it turns into now 3rd down and about 6, as Washington was stopped after a gain of 2. Back in the game, again, the West has alternated quarterbacks every play. So here's Moriarty on 3rd and 6. Motion man, play fake, little pitch to the left side. This is Murphy looking for room on the sideline. Tries to stay in bounds. I don't know that he did. I think they knocked it. No, the clock still continues to run. So it'll be 4th and long. 4th and long. The West, I think, will either go for it or will they put the punt team on there. The punt game, again, has been the cause of some trouble. So they may decide to just keep the offense on the field. Oh, no, they are going to punt it away. Cam Dorham stands inside his 40, awaiting a punt snap, which we tick down inside of a minute. 33-14, the West hung 25 on the board in the first half, tacked on one touchdown midway through the third, an 8-yard run by Chris Morgan. But now here, ready to kick it away is Cam Dorham. Standing deep to return, Hakeem Whitaker. Out of Academy Park, he's waiting at the 30, or about the 25-yard line. Timeout for the West with 4th and 6 to go. 45 seconds to play here in regulation. So, you know, Mike, I think Jim said, what, are we 99 days
from
the 2013 football season? And, again, we'll look forward to all sorts of fun on havenfootball.net this year and see how the Panthers do. They were hit reasonably hard by graduation, not in terms of just sheer numbers, not a huge senior class, but certainly class of seniors that made big-time contributions.
Absolutely.
So big contributors with big shoes to fill for the underclass Panthers, but we'll wait and see how they do. But you know, the same can be said, of course, of every program. And there are some schools that will have a lot returning. You know, Jim Alsman hinted that maybe Marble Newtown was hit hard by graduation as well, but, you know, Ridley
was hit hard by graduation last year, and they came out and took the Central League.
That's right. And then, you know, they lose a bunch of talent this year, but, boy, they've had a good
JV and ninth grade team the last couple of years,
too.
All right, low snap. Durham picks it up and is in trouble. Looking for room at the 40. 45, 50. He's going to be run out of bounds shy of that first down. And so the East will indeed get the ball out near midfield. Deion Cleveland in on the stop there for Glenn Mills, the Glenn Mills linebacker. So, again, it's a... East will get one more crack at it to get the offense back on the field near the midfield stripe with 31 seconds to play here in regulation. They trail it 33-14, and again, we're back on the seesaw. We've just been back and forth since 2007. You know, the East wins one, then the West takes the next year, and so...
That's okay. That works out for everybody,
I think. Yeah, that's true.
Makes it unknown. And
everybody
but
the kids, they only get to play it once, right?
That's true. But, you know, but that means there's hope, though.
That's right. That's right. It's been fun. Either way. So here's Nick Rentos of Interboro. He's your quarterback in the shotgun again. Back to pass on first and ten. Looking under heavy pressure, and down he goes. Wilson's got him again. Wilson and Curlin combined on a sack earlier, and they combine on a sack yet again with 18 seconds left. Timeout, East. Looks like they're going to talk things over and set up a play for at least one more crack at it here.
Yep, 19 seconds left.
From here, now it turns into sort of, well, who's maybe players of the game? I would have to venture a guess on the West side. If I had to guess as a defensive MVP, it'd be hard to argue against Shane Dougherty with just sort of the highlight reel tackles he's made all night. On the offensive side, so many to pick from. Rob Murphy's had a great game. The running back from Springfield and even had a punt return touchdown called back. Eddie Durkin ran for two touchdowns.
Yep.
You know, nobody in an all-star game like this where everybody's trying to share the ball, you know, you're not going to see eye-popping numbers typically. Nothing on the stat sheet with, you know, 100-yard games typically in these events. But, you know, still, these kids have played hard all night. Those would be my guesses for the West. For the East, I don't know. Maybe it's Rentos who's come in and done a really good job at quarterback on the offensive side of the ball. Maybe it's Earl Hargrove who's had a couple of catches. Here's Rentos, back to pass, looking far to the outside. There's Fentress. Rentos to Fentress, maybe one last time. Why not? They connected on a touchdown earlier tonight. They connected 39 times in the football season, in the 2012 season. All Delco tight end, Rashawn Fentress. He's headed to Shippensburg, and... You know, that's, again, one of the fun parts. Aaron Benson mentioned it at halftime, just to say one of the most fun parts of playing in this game is just, you know, one more time with your buddies or one more time against all the teammates or your opponents from the regular season.
That you always wanted to meet or play
with. They always wanted
to
meet or play with.
Right.
And, you know, we've seen the Harrington connection tonight with Moriarty to Valentine a few times and Rentos to Fentress for a touchdown tonight for the East and others, but... on the defensive side of the ball, you know, for the East, I don't know. I would take a guess and maybe say it's Dan Dickerson who had an interception and a couple of really nice plays in the secondary. You know, Hakeem Whitaker had an interception to set up that second touchdown. There's a couple of candidates there maybe, but we'll let the committee decide and we'll just report back. In the meantime, 6 seconds left. Rentos back, looking, firing to the right flat. Complete to Austin Q. 40, 35, 30. One man to beat, looking for a block. Flag on the play, but the clock has struck zero as Q has run out of bounds inside the 20-yard line, and that will do it. Head coach Mike Barr just got a Gatorade shower, and again, congratulations to head coach Barr. I mentioned this very briefly in the opening that he has stepped down as the Harrington head coach, and good luck to head coach Justin Meller, newly hired Justin Meller, a guy I actually used to play baseball with and against as a kid, but back in the old Suburban One days. But he's moved from the Haverford staff to the head job at Harrington, so we'll see them in the fall. But in the meantime, Coach Barr has led the West squad to a 33-14 victory in a very nicely played second half after some first-half shenanigans and really another great night here at Widener for the Hero Bowl. So, stick with us. We'll come back with a couple of post-game things to wrap up, including the naming of the offensive and defensive MVPs for each squad. So stick with us. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. You're listening live to high school football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Hi, my daughter has some coins. She'd like to turn them into cash.
Did you say cash advance?
Oh, no, coin counting.
I want to buy a dollhouse.
Congratulations. Would you like to hear about our mortgages?
Mortgage? No, she's seven.
Oh, sorry. We do not offer seven-year mortgages at this time.
No, coin counting.
It's time to bank human again. That's why at TD Bank, you can talk to a real person anytime. And yes, we have free customer coin counting. TD Bank, America's most convenient bank.
Member FDIC.
In the Outback, we've got a real taste for adventure. So drop in today to explore our new Steak Flights menu. For a limited time, enjoy two or three cuts of our juicy signature sirloin served on a crispy potato, each topped with a chef-crafted sauce of your choice, like creamy Diablo or wild mushroom. Plus a side starting just $10.99. That's up to two or three delicious tastes, all on one plate. So enjoy your flight, mate, but don't miss it. It's always fresh in the Outback.
The world of internet sports broadcasting is rapidly expanding into the amateur ranks. Schools, high school and college, as well as minor league sports clubs, are finding out about the hottest new streamer on the planet, EasyStream.com. In just minutes, your crew can have its sporting events live and on the internet. For more information, call 800-866-7510 or log on to EasyStream.com. EasyStream. Streaming made easy.
This is Keith Jackson reminding you, you're listening to High School Football, right here on HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to the 37th Annual Hero Bowl. The West, 33, the East, 14, and they are handing out the Spirit Awards, which is the award for the cheerleader and head coach at Widener handing that out as we speak. There is also going to be an offensive and defensive MVP named for each team, and I have those names, but they haven't announced it over the PA yet. I don't want to say it too loudly, but I will give you a hint that the MVP last year on the offensive side of the ball was George Walker of Glenn Mills. And I will tell you that one of the MVPs is going to another Glenn Mills player, so for the second year in a row, there will be one MVP award handed to a Glenn Mills player. I will also tell you that there was a defensive MVP from Ridley in 2011, and there'll be another one tonight. And let's see, what else can I give you in terms of the...
Can I buy a vowel, please?
Yes, can I give you some other hints here? Let's see, and again, thanks to Matt Smith at the Delco Times for printing up today some of the history of the Hero Bowl, some of the MVPs in recent years, and game results, and so forth. I'm trying to see here, when was the last time we had a Haverford player named MVP? It's going back quite a ways. Oh my goodness. I am having trouble finding a Haverford MVP here. We might have a first in, there it is, since 1999. Okay. Eddie Durkin has just been announced the offensive MVP for Haverford from Haverford High. Offensive MVP of the West, Eddie Durkin. First time since 1999 a Haverford player has won the MVP here. And the defensive MVP, I mentioned it was a Ridley player, and it's one of those linebackers. Not the guy who probably had the loudest hits of the night, but the guy who had maybe the most tackles on the night, Tyler Harris, number 41, all over the field tonight. Congratulations, Tyler. You and your Ridley teammates on that defense have, well, we shouldn't be surprised, right? They played out of their minds all year, and again tonight, great job by Tyler Harris and the West defense. For the East, I'm going to say I'm looking again for the last time we had an Archbishop Carroll player win an award for MVP, and it is going back to I don't know when. I'm just scanning this paper. I don't know when the last time it happened, but tonight your offensive MVP is Archbishop Carroll, Sal Bellow. Quarterback tonight really had a nice game. There were a couple of throws that, you know, his receivers let him down on, honestly, but ended up with a touchdown pass tonight. Sal Bellow, your offensive MVP. He's headed to her sinus in the fall. So congratulations and good luck to Sal. Really a fitting way for him, missing a lot of his senior year to an injury. So good for him that he got a chance to
But I want
to
come back as an orthodontist.
Yeah.
These kids have great smiles. Somebody's paying for these.
And one more smile here tonight. The defensive MVP, I told you, was from the Glenn Mills School. Last year, the offensive MVP was George Walker. Tonight, the defensive MVP goes to number 44, Deion Cleveland. Great, great job. Deion
yes.
Cleveland is your defensive MVP out of the Glenn Mills School. So just really a wonderful event. You know, there's sometimes where there's some of these guys, you know, maybe weren't first-team All-Delco, and there's a lot of first-team All-Delcos out there, but I kind of like the guys that maybe were overlooked or maybe under the radar a bit in the full season, but just got one last night to really just shine.
And had a good game.
And had a great game in four cases tonight. So congratulations, Tyler Harris, Eddie Durkin, Deion Cleveland, and Sal Bello, your MVPs of the 2013 Hero Bowl. So, that being said, our 2013 season is underway. We will do it again in about 99 days or so.
Great.
And it'll be right here on a Friday night as Strathaven hosts Dobbins Tech Friday of Labor Day weekend, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
You got a Philadelphia
correct.
Public League school out of District 12 last year.
And we'll be working on a new field, it looks
and
like.
And a new field over at George L. King will be... How do I have to talk that up or take some pictures, get them on the website as it's being installed
right.
or whatever it might be. But it'll be a turf field at George L. King starting in the fall, or so they say.
Yep.
We're looking forward to that and see what we can do with it from the broadcast booth anyway. So anyway, we are so thankful tonight again for everybody here at the Hero Bowl who made this thing happen, who gave us the opportunity, everybody here at Widener who made the press box so easily accessible, so comfortable. Thanks again to MarpleNewtownFootball.com's Jim Alsman for joining us at halftime and all the support he provides. Thanks again to Aaron Benson, assistant coach at Wesley College and former Strathaven All-Delco and former college All-American. And great to see and hear from Aaron as well. And Mike Mayer, we will see you in a couple of months. It's going to be fun.
Yep,
2013
another good season.
Football season. So congratulations to the class of 2013 seniors in Delaware County. You did yourselves proud here tonight one last time on the football field. So, Mike, we'll see you soon. Thank you, everybody, for joining us live. We're on the archive. Signing off from Widener University. This is Brian Carroll, 33-14, the West Urban East. Good night, everybody, and great football.
This internet broadcast has been a production of www.havenfootball.net, Incorporated. All rights are reserved. Thanks for listening, and good night.